Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, October 14th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Philadelphia Inquirer reports that the school district of Philadelphia will begin returning children to classrooms on November 30th with children in grades pre-K through 2nd. Superintendent William Hite Jr. made the announcement in a letter sent to staff on Tuesday. The district plans a phased-in approach that prioritizes the health and safety of our students and staff, as well as the needs of our families, while offering a mix of in-person and digital remote learning for students, he said. Families can choose an all-virtual option if they desire. In the first phase of the plan, the district's youngest learners will go back to their physical classrooms 2 days a week, learning remotely the other days. Students will be in the classroom either Monday and Tuesday or Thursday and Friday. All children will be remote on Wednesdays. The district's goal, as much as possible, Hite said in the letter, is for students to continue with their current teachers, whether they choose hybrid or 100% digital learning. The district spent $6 million in technology to allow teachers to live stream their classrooms, teaching in both in-class students and those learning virtually at the same time. There was no immediate plan for when other students might come back to the classrooms, and officials said the details were subject to change given COVID-19 case counts and other factors. Hite is expected to announce further details to the plan later today.
What was the start date on that, Kev?
November 30th.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Ben... Yeah, Ben's school district starts back next week. So some of the kids will be home on Mondays and Wednesdays. Some of the kids will be home on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And all the kids will be home on Fridays. But they're going to do some virtual and some in class starting next week.
It's wild how many different variations these. There's tons of them. So my friend was telling me that his kids... it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday 1 week, and then Tuesday and Thursday the next week.
And it depends on their ages, too. Yeah. So right. Ben's in middle school, and some I think the high school doesn't start until the following week.
It's even weirder because my neighbor's kids are full-grown adults with their own family.
Oh, that's weird.
Yet they're being forced to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Forced or choosing?
Yeah, forced to choose.
Okay.
So this is November 30th. So they're saying obviously things could change, but
yeah, it's a lot of time in between.
Lot of time in between. So we'll see what happens. Philadelphia Eagles fans will be allowed back at Lincoln Financial Field starting this Sunday when the Birds play the Baltimore Ravens.
Yay!
After city officials announced changes to coronavirus-related crowd restrictions. The stadium occupancy will be limited to 7,500 people, which includes players, coaches, team, stadium personnel, media, and fans. Due to the limited capacity at Lincoln Financial Field, single-game tickets against the Ravens October 18th and the New York Giants October 22nd will go on sale to season ticket members who have opted into the 2020 season beginning on Wednesday, October 14th.
Kathy, what do you think of their plans to Zoom in the cheerleaders?
Tickets will be sold in groups with the ability to purchase as many as 6 tickets in the same seating pod. Any remaining tickets for the Ravens and Giants game will go on sale to the general public and communicated at a later date. The team estimates that there will be approximately 5,000 fans in attendance.
I wonder, so we saw that concert picture of that thing over in England that they did where everyone had their own platform and
yeah.
Could the concept of the a stadium pod catch up? I know this is just technically you're with your pod of your family members and friends.
Right.
But, who knows? Could they modify stuff and, make it? For me, getting in bunched in with a whole bunch of people and that arduous departure where you're leaving with a whole bunch of people, it's the thing that makes it not fun
for me. Yeah, of course. But they are.
If I could have my pod airlifted in.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you, Steve, but they are taking some precautions as far as entering and exiting and stuff like
that,
too.
Okay, all right.
A single-game ticket.
Maybe like a pod that rolls down in like a roller coaster track.
Well, listen, that would be awesome if you could leave the stadium on a roller coaster.
A roller coaster to your
right
car?
To your car.
Those Jurassic World, type of hamster ball.
Hamster ball.
Excuse
and you
us.
Just slide the slot back for your fries and your drinks.
I love it.
Single-game tickets for the remaining 2020 home games will go on sale in the coming weeks. The Eagles say face coverings are required for all guests ages 2 and up at all times. Fans will be required to maintain 6 feet of social distance from other fans and stadium staff at all times. Personalized seating pods have been established for proper social distancing and limit fan-to-fan contact. Social gatherings or tailgating in the sports complex is not going to be permitted for the 2020 season. Gates will open 90 minutes prior to kickoff, and guests will be assigned a specific gate for entry that corresponds to that location of their game ticket. So they'll have to enter at a certain spot. All transactions will be cashless at the concession stands as well.
Everything's for free. That's great.
That's not what it means. No, credit card. The city of Philadelphia announced an agreement with leaders of the homeless encampment on the Ben Franklin Parkway on Tuesday evening. The agreement means the residents of the encampment will leave by the end of the week, according to a news release from Mayor Jim Kenney's office.
They really mean it this time.
You better watch out.
The camp on the parkway, well, they've never agreed to leave.
Yeah. No, I know.
They're finally
going
agreeing.
On forever, that's all.
I double dare you.
Yeah.
The camp on the parkway has been the source of controversy for several months, with a resolution proving elusive until now. Camp leaders say they've been protesting to bring awareness to the city's homeless problem and the demanding safe housing. The city reached a deal with a similar encampment on Ridge Avenue last week, and it was promptly dismantled. Under the agreement terms, city officials and PHA will transfer a total of 50 properties to a land trust established by the encampment residents. The transfer of the properties will be accomplished in four phases detailed in the agreement. Within 5 days of the resolution of the camp, the establishment of the land trust, the city will enter into an agreement to provide site control and access on a temporary basis up to 10 properties to that land trust.
How come the homeless community has better signage than we get at our end?
Right?
It says housing now. It's professionally done. It's hung up high.
Within 6 months of the resolution of the camp, the city will enter into an agreement to transfer up to an additional 40 city-owned properties identified by the land trust. Of those 40, 25 will be transferred to the city within 45 days by PHA using properties from closed rental assistance demonstration transactions. The remaining 15 properties will be city-owned properties identified by the land trust and which the city agrees are suitable for transfer to the land trust. Some of the residents of the encampment will be trained in building and construction to help rehab the properties.
That's cool.
In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
In a rare Tuesday night game for the NFL, the Tennessee Titans rolled past the Buffalo Bills 42-16. The Titans won the battle of undefeated teams and are now a 4-0 record for the first time since 2008.
What the f*** is this?
Tennessee missed 6 days of practice after its facility was shut down on September 29th due to a COVID-19 outbreak that left 24 players and staff members infected. The Titans returned to the building last Saturday and had 3 days of walkthrough practices to get ready for Buffalo. The baseball playoffs continued last night in the National League Championship Series. The Atlanta Braves held on to beat the LA Dodgers 8-7 in Game 2 of that series and now lead the series 2-0. Game 3 is in Arlington, Texas tonight, and the first pitch is set for 6:05. In the American League, the Tampa Bay Rays scored 5 runs in the 6th inning on their way to a 5-2 win over the Houston Astros. The Rays are now up 3-0 and can finish off the sweep in tonight's Game 4 in San Diego. The first pitch is scheduled for 8:40. And the Philadelphia Union, who have won 2 straight games and are still in second place in the Eastern Conference, are on the road tonight with a game in Washington against DC United. The match is set to begin at 8 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Long weekend for us. We had a holiday for Columbus Day on the Monday, and then we took an extra day off just for a long weekend, and we are back rested, ready to go, and some stuff in store for you. We have a new Word of the Week prize. It's only going to be 3 letters that you need to keep track of. Yeah, $400 Resorts Casino Hotel gift card, which is pretty sweet. So make sure that you pay attention at the end of the program, because we'll get the letter of the day and make that whole thing happen. It is, since it is a Wednesday, we have Fox Good Day. We're going to go live on there. We have a secret text word today, a chance for you to win a digital download of Zack Snyder's 300.
Oh!
And actually, I think I have a birthday coming up in the entertainment portion of somebody who's in the movie 300. So we'll get to that in a little bit. So check, go ahead and text the word secret to 39333. You might win a little bit later on this morning. Guest-wise, this is awesome. We're going to talk to Kevin Smith, always great.
Yeah, and unbelievably good guest.
No particular thing he's promoting. He's just on to talk about what's going on in the world of Kevin Smith and the world of all of us. Because, you know, inside we're all Kevin Smith.
We're all Kevin Smith.
So he will be on around 9. And then legendary actor Alan Alda will be on.
We've had him on before. He was great.
He's excellent.
It's great.
I can't wait to talk to him. So he's got podcasts. He's got 3 of them, actually. That he promotes, Clear and Vivid with Alan Alda, Science Clear and Vivid, and Soldiers of Science. So it's all about
science stuff. Film.
Yeah. So
you know what he's really great in? I was just watching it a couple days ago. The Aviator.
Oh,
he's excellent in that.
Yeah.
He's the senator, the corrupt senator.
Yeah, he's really good in that. So we'll talk to him about his acting careers as well, which is very cool. Casey is frantically writing
this
down.
Ridiculous.
Is he writing a speech for you right now?
So dumb.
You just saw these?
Oh, my God, yeah.
So,
this is so dumb.
Rocktober Madness.
Idiot.
You are so dumb.
You are so dumb.
Yeah, some serious upsets are going
on. You are so dumb.
Thank you. And I think the audience is just effing with us, to be honest. Uh-huh. But listen.
I love it.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's really wild. So the latest matchups as we move on in the bracket system, we had Linkin Park beating Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. So actually a lower seed, a 9 seed beat a 16 seed. So not that big of a deal. Now, I'm really surprised in the Preston and Steve bracket that Van Halen was beat by Led Zeppelin. With the death of Eddie Van Halen, I actually
thought
that might spur Van Halen on to win this whole thing. Not going to happen. Yeah. So also, the victory over, let's see, it was Foo Fighters against David Bowie. Foo Fighters beat Bowie in that one. I'm sorry?
Did you see how close that was?
No.
Four votes.
Really?
Yeah.
In the Jackson and Sarah bracket. And then in the Jackie and Brent section. This is the big upset. Yeah. Tool, number one seed, taken out by legendary guitarist Stevie Ray Vaughan. But an odd matchup, and you would think Tool would have taken that easily, but no.
I
like seeing some of this stuff. It's like you were saying, Steve, it's interesting.
And I also see your plan. So a lot of people may have a plan about the band they want to go all the way. So you have to take out competing bands along the way to make sure they don't face them later on down the road.
Well, my Final Four is ruined, Steve. My Fantastic Four, because I had Tool making it to the Fantastic Four.
What blew my mind, Preston, was the Pearl Jam Yes pair up.
Yes, and Yes won that one. So,
oh, God, I forgot that one.
Yeah, you
one
forgot
too.
To put that one in there. Sorry about that, Case. But anyhow, yeah, it was Pearl Jam against Yes. That was one of the big, big, big upsets. Yes, legendary progressive rock band, of course, but Pearl Jam, one of the strongest fan bases in rock music, taken out by Yes fans. Yes, 15 seed beat Pearl Jam, a number 2 seed.
It's wild.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really crazy, especially since Yes was a... Both you and I are fans of the prog rock, you know, of Yes and those kind of bands. So I think we're having a matchup between Yes and Genesis coming up, are we not?
We are.
Yes. And so the next one's today. You know what? I need to check on that. I need to see what the exact matchups are going to be today. So.
I got you, Roast Beef.
Thank you, Roast Beef. I appreciate that.
All right. So today.
Yes.
What do we have? We have Aerosmith versus Dave Matthews Band.
Wow.
We have Prince versus Tom Petty. We have STP versus AC/DC. And then we have Shinedown versus Rush.
Rush. All right.
So as my kids always said, Rush is versing Shinedown today.
Yes. Yeah. At a certain age, kids say they're versing.
Who are we versing today?
So, all right, the matchups continue. And
interesting.
We leave it up to you, friends. Yeah. So make sure that you don't miss out. Starts 11:30 with Pierre, your chance to vote for MMR Rocktober Madness. Let's take a break because I have loads of stories to pass along to you in the entertainment realm and a stupid question with some more stuff for you to win. So make sure you stay with us through the course of the morning. And we'll tell you more about what's going on. Some other things I missed out on. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to give away for Stupid Question this morning a $50 gift card to Nabraza. And, the question I have for you came from listener John in Newcastle, Delaware. And this is a really interesting one. He said, the same make of microphone was used in FDR's We Have Nothing to Fear But Fear Itself speech, JFK's Ask Not What Your Country Can Do For You speech, and MLK's I Have a Dream speech. Who was the manufacturer of that type of microphone? So what microphone company, essentially?
Interesting.
Made...
I didn't know there was the same microphone across all those historic events.
Yeah, the same make of microphone.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's the same model.
Because it would have had a whole bunch of spit and gerb on it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Gerb.
Is gerb like an actual
word? I think gerb is a Morrison word.
Okay.
I love gerb. It's right up there with pud. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Call now. Very interesting question. I'll go through some birthdays today while we're waiting for your answer. Today is Wednesday, October 14th. Do you guys say Ralph Lauren or Ralph Lauren?
I say Lauren.
Okay.
I do both, like Caribbean and Caribbean.
Or Caribbean.
I say Ralph Caribbean.
Yeah, Ralph Lauren or Lauren is 81 years old today. Stacey Keibler, she was a wrestler, and then she did Dancing with the Stars.
Very hot, very tall, statuesque. Once dated George Clooney for a while.
No kidding.
Yes.
And isn't she married to somebody?
One of the Keibler elves.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, she is. Because she was.
Is it the guy from Shark Tank?
No, I don't think so. She was in Playboy once. Was she
nude in Playboy?
Yeah,
wow.
I remember having a thing for her. I got to see what she looks like.
She's very beautiful, and she's actually got a very good personality.
Her spouse is Jared Pobre, and his name is not highlighted on Wikipedia, so he's nobody.
Yeah, sorry.
Because normally it would be a link,
right?
If he were anybody famous or anything.
There's nothing on him.
So he went.
His parents are Gladys Lowenstein and. Joseph Pobre.
Okay.
So do they link to?
Yeah, Gladys has a link.
Wouldn't that suck if your parents had a link and you didn't?
Yeah. All right, well, anyhow, Stacey Keibler's 41. Thomas Dolby, the musician, she blinded me with science.
Not only a musician, but also a tech guy. He's invented a lot of stuff used for music production.
And I'm sure he still banks off of She Blinded Me with Science, because that's still used for, you know, soundtracks and ad campaigns and things like that all the time. So.
His wife is one of those actresses that you would recognize, Preston. You know who she is? His wife in Godfather 2, when they're putting on that stage play.
Yeah.
And the woman...
The attractive one comes out?
Get out of here. That's Thomas Dolby's wife.
Ah. All right, well, yeah, Kathleen Beller. Yeah, yeah. Steve, I'm looking at a photo of her, and sure enough... That's the gal. All right, well, good on you, Thomas Dolby.
So is he Dolby surround sound?
I don't know if he's in that family. I wondered the same thing years ago, Nick, and I forgot what I found out about that, but I don't think he is.
He did a whole bunch of, like, synthesizer stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So
I always guessed it was a stage name.
Okay.
But I'd have nothing to back that up, so you could look that up.
And Murray Lefkowitz is his real name.
Thomas Morgan Robertson is his real name, yeah.
Okay.
Not Murray Lefkowitz.
No.
62 today. Lourdes Maria Chichon Leon. Is Madonna's daughter.
Oh.
And I got to tell you something, Preston. She's a lovely girl. She's a lovely lady.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Reg. And welcome to the show.
Not a problem. I've logged into the show, as it says on our call screen.
She is 24 years old today. Great musician, Justin Hayward.
Love him.
And guitarist of the Moody Blues.
That band is, I just by happenstance over the weekend was listening to Days of Future Past, the full album.
Wow.
It's so good.
Wow. They were really ahead of their time.
Yes. So this was, I guess this hit around the time that Sgt. Pepper's did, or if not, at least in this, within months of each other.
What a great time for music.
Yeah.
Justin Hayward is 74 years old today. Dan McCafferty is the singer of the band Nazareth, and Love Hurts was
great
a big
song.
Hit, and I always love Hair of the Dog is a great song. So Dan
Baby Shark
McCafferter, Baby Shark, 74 today.
Cool.
It was the lesser hit for them back then. It didn't really take off until just a couple of years ago. Cliff Richard, the singer who had songs like Devil Woman and We Don't Talk Anymore, is 80 years old today. He was very popular in England. Steve Coogan is English, the actor.
He's great.
He is, he's been in tons of stuff. He's so great in Tropic Thunder. Oh my God. Is he director that nobody listens to?
He has one of the greatest, I can't believe they did that scenes in Tropic Thunder when he's, he just detonates.
Yep. He blows up. And, God, Ben Stiller thinks it's all
And he's
a
holding the head on the barrel of the gun going, oh!
Yeah.
Remember, he sticks his finger up in there and licks it. Tastes real. Night at the Museum as well. A bunch of movies. He's 55 today. It's Usher's birthday as well. The singer, his name is Usher Raymond, so that's his, it's not a made-up name.
I think, isn't he the one, too, who discovered Justin Bieber?
Yes.
He's 42. Actress Mia Wasikowska, who played Alice in Alice in Wonderland, the most recent version of that. She's in The Kids Are All Right and Jane Eyre. She is 31 today. And the last birthday today, it's Moose's birthday!
Oh!
Connor!
Why don't you forget the moose? For a moment.
Our programming assistant, Connor, who is vital to our day-to-day operations, especially once our internship program came to an end with COVID-19. Connor's he's our right-hand guy around here.
Well, I was describing the chronology of what happened after everything Corona started to kick in. It was you, it was Casey, myself, and Connor in the studio for the longest.
Yes.
And Connor was like... Yeah. You know, the old act that used to spin dishes on sticks was doing everything.
Exactly. So happy birthday, Connor. Oh, I missed one. Nick, you had up. It was Joe Girardi's birthday today.
Ah.
The skipper of the Phils.
56.
Celebrates his 56th birthday today. We had a chance to meet him briefly and hang out right when he got, just before he even really started working.
Yeah.
Super nice guy.
Yes.
Nice, good sense of humor.
Right.
Seems like most of the managers, the baseball managers, have a good sense of humor.
Which makes it pleasant before they get fired.
Now they just got to win in September.
That's all. That's all.
All right. So let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. And it's brought to us by listener John. I'll tell his last name in a minute because it makes sense. He said the same microphone was used for FDR's We Have Nothing to Fear But Fear itself speech. JFK's Ask Not What Your Country Can Do For You speech, and Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. Who was the manufacturer of that microphone? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Jimmy and see if he knows. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, first time, long time.
Yeah. Welcome, sir. Welcome. All right. What is the manufacturer of that microphone?
Was it Shure microphone?
It was Shure microphone. Yeah.
Do you know the first iteration of that FDR speech was, we have a lot to be afraid of, legitimately afraid.
No.
And then they changed it.
They changed it. Wow. Jimmy, congratulations. You got it right. Hang on a second. And we are going to set you up with a $50 gift card to Nebraza. Go hungry, man. All right. Open for curbside pickup or indoor-outdoor dining and serving a full 15 Brazilian meat service with a dedicated server to each table. Details at Nebraza.com, courtesy of Fast and Furious Spy Racers Rio, exclusively on Netflix. Now, by the way, John's name, who sent that in, is John Shure. And he said, don't say my last name or you'll give away the answer.
Oh, okay.
But Shure microphones are the standard.
Yeah.
That's they're outstanding microphones.
Shure are.
That's what we're talking on right now.
Yeah, these are Shures as well. All right, let's get into some of the entertainment stories. We'll start with this. Dominic West, I had to look him up. He's an actor.
Yes.
You know who he is. He's been in tons of movies. I remember the first movie I saw him pop up in was 28 Days with... Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
He plays the boyfriend who's got a drug problem as well.
He was also a name that's been bandied about as a Bond potential.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. He was in 300, The Wire, all this stuff. Well, he and his wife, Catherine Fitzgerald, are responding to rumors that he's having a fling with his co-star, Lily James.
I love Lily James.
She's gorgeous. She's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. She's in that Beatles movie.
Pictures of the pair kissing and cuddling in Rome made the rounds on Monday.
Cuddling with Lily James.
But a note signed by both West and Fitzgerald said, our marriage is strong and we are very much still together.
I think in many ways, most marriages would be strengthened if you were to make out with other women. Right, Preston?
Let's try that out. Later, West and Fitzgerald kissed for paparazzi outside their home in London. But wedding ring observers did know that Fitzgerald's left hand wasn't visible, and that he wasn't sporting his rings.
And one of his nuts was missing.
She took my ball.
She took my left zesty, and it hurt.
The pair refused to answer questions about James's Roman holiday with West.
She cut it off in the paper shredder, she did.
Lily, by the way, was recently linked to Chris Evans.
Lily.
That would make for a nice couple.
Yeah. She's adorable. She's one of those actresses that can be sexy and also girl next door adorable, you know? George, just like me, I would say.
George Miller has recruited Anya Taylor-Joy, Chris Hemsworth, and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II to star in Furiosa. The film is a prequel based on Charlize Theron's character from 2015's Mad Max Fury Road.
So she stole that movie. That movie was, you know, Mad Max was actually almost a secondary character in that. Mm-hmm. It was her movie. So is Anya Taylor-Joy going to play Fury? Oh, that's awesome.
She's going to play her, yes. So the 24-year-old Taylor-Joy is taking on the iconic version. Miller told the New York Times in May that he was looking for an actress in her 20s after deciding against using de-aging tech that would allow the 44-year-old Theron to reprise her role.
Yahya is this other guy. He's been in everything now, and you don't like the name doesn't pop out to you, right? But he played the blue guy, Dr. Manhattan, in the last Watchmen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's that guy. He was also the Mantis in Aquaman.
That's right. He's excellent.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's going to play the blue Mantis.
Twitter was split on Anya Taylor-Joy. Many were thrilled that she's going to be the main character. Others were concerned that she couldn't pull it off.
Well,
because Charlize Theron was so great.
She's our dear friend.
She was lovely here in the studio.
She's a lovely girl, Preston. And as far as playing Furiosa, she'll be absolutely wonderful.
I was so smitten with her. Her eyes are so large and
translucent.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. So. And she's super duper nice.
She's statuesque.
Yeah.
She puts on a little bit of muscle.
But I was concerned when we were having her in because I thought she might be a bit standoffish.
Right,
but she was very, very...
She's great.
Yeah, very, very sweet. All right, Gal Gadot sat down with Vanity Fair for an in-depth cover interview that touched on feminism, her upcoming turn in Wonder Woman 1984, and the unfortunate reception of her Imagine video. 7 months ago, after she released that infamous Imagine video on Instagram, she said, quote, with a smile and shrug... via Vanity Fair, she said, sometimes, you know, you try to do a good deed and it's just not the right good deed. I had nothing but good intentions. It came from the best place and I just wanted to send light and love to the world.
I have no doubt it's exactly what she wanted to do.
I love her to death.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it through that video. This is not the right song. This is not the right time for this, and it was a little embarrassing to watch.
Yes. Especially since she called up friends of hers who obviously said, all right, I'll do it.
Well, she said that she spoke to...
Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, and Kristen Wiig kind of put the word out.
Yeah.
And got the whole ball rolling. But you sent me this video of her recently, Steve, of her explaining slang in
Hebrew.
In Hebrew, yeah, Hebrew slang, and she... is so cute and adorable.
She's wonderful.
You just fall in love with her immediately. So, but she owns stuff like this as well.
She's going to be playing Cleopatra, Preston.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay. Let's see. She also shared that she never imagined acting growing up. She said, "I came home from a home where being an actress wasn't even an option. I always loved the arts, and I was a dancer, and I loved the movies."
But she was a singer.
No,
but
she
being
was
an
a dancer. No, she was a dancer.
Oh my God!
She said, "Being an actress was never a discussion. My parents were like, you need to graduate university and get a degree." She had planned on becoming a lawyer. Her husband is the one who told her to go for it, though. Jaron is his name.
Go for it.
She said, was the one to say,
"You need to have a higher education.
You can do it.
Go for it.
You can do it." You can do whatever.
As they say in our home country, shalom.
She said you can do whatever you... He said you can do whatever you want to do.
We all said you can do whatever you want to do.
He's the one who really gave me the strength to follow this dream, she said. They got married in 2008, by the way. Now, on the whole Wonder Woman thing, 1984.
I think it'll be 2084 before we ever see it.
Yeah, she said she and her family's perspective on the iconic role. I'm the mom who bugs them and asks them to do the things and wake them up in the morning. Whenever I get a Wonder Woman Barbie, they get excited about that and they play with it a little bit, but they're not obsessed with the idea that I'm Wonder Woman. The 35-year-old said the iconic role, one of the biggest things that I believe is that you can only dream about becoming someone or something after you've seen it visually. And for boys, lucky them, they got to experience since the beginning of the movies that they were the protagonist. They were the strong ones. They saved the day, but we didn't get this representation. And I think it's so important, and of course it's ultra important for me because I'm a mother of two girls, show them the potential of what they can be. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be athletic or physically strong, that too, but they can be bigger than life. So I'm excited for that movie. Don't know when it's officially going to come out yet. But
we have the same director, Patty Jenkins, I think her name is, and the whole collective looks good. And as they keep, it's funny because you have this project that's absolutely ready to go, but why release it to limited capacity theaters?
Yep.
They're
yep.
still saying on IMDb that it's Christmas of this year, but
I doubt it.
We'll see if that happens.
I doubt it.
Steve, Patty Jenkins is also going to direct that Cleopatra movie that you just alluded to. Yeah. Okay. So they're going to work together again for that. Well.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And Regis approves.
And Regis, you'll know this. The actress that is most known for playing Charlie Sheen's beloved housekeeper, Berta, on Two and a Half Men had passed away. Conchita Ferrell died. She was 77 years old. She passed on October 12th due to complications following a cardiac arrest. She had been ill for a while. This is so sad. She was surrounded by her family at Sherman Oaks Hospital. Her death comes about 5 months after she suffered a heart attack. Her husband, Arnie Anderson, told TMZ that she was hospitalized in May after feeling ill. She spent more than 4 weeks in the intensive care unit and went into cardiac arrest at one point, which Anderson said lasted for about 10 minutes. She was then transferred to a long-term care facility and put on a respirator and dialysis, unable to speak or communicate.
So that's horrible.
She'd been bedridden.
That's
and
horrible.
Out of it all together.
She has a long career that goes back to a lot of stage stuff. She was in a musical that was popular years ago called The Hot L Baltimore.
Yeah.
She's also in Mr. Deeds. She's she gets into a brawl with Winona Ryder.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember her from Aaron Brockovich.
Yes.
She was she worked in the same office and she was, you know, pain in the ass.
Right. That she was good and at that kind of character. Yeah.
Yeah. He had said that her husband said while he had spoke with his wife's nurse frequently, he wasn't able to visit her at the time due to the coronavirus guidelines. She had told TMZ in February that she had been hospitalized for a kidney infection in December in Charleston, West Virginia, where she had been living at her vacation home since Thanksgiving. The infection spread and began contaminating her blood. She spent a few weeks in the ICU before she was released and put into transitional care in January. She spent a month bedridden as she recovered at home, going through physical therapy several times a day. She told TMZ that her husband was by her side throughout the ordeal and worked tirelessly to care for her, but it took a turn for the worse, and she ended up being in the hospital, and that's where she had the heart attack, and then eventually...
So her family died. Was around her when she passed.
She was. Yeah, they were. So it's just sad news.
She was best known, obviously, for Berta on Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, she was on that show from 2003 through the finale of 2015, nominated for 2 Primetime Emmy Awards for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series.
She was hilarious.
Yeah, and she also received a nomination for playing Susan Bloom in L.A. Law in 1992.
We have 2 clips if you want to hear her from the series. Yeah.
Yep, here we go.
Because your father is the embodiment of the can-do, roll-up-your-sleeve spirit that made this country great. He never gets discouraged, he goes after what he wants, and he doesn't know the meaning of the word quit. And if the day should come when any man, no matter how humble, can't go out there and soil the loins of some hot little dancer, well, I don't want to live in that America. Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies.
Oh, man. Here's one about unwelcome medical advice.
Yes, right. Same from Two and a Half Men as well.
Okay, here we go.
Did you check to see if he's constipated?
Berta, there's a lot of emotions he hasn't processed.
Maybe so, but there's also a lot of string cheese he hasn't processed. My youngest once ate a whole can of Play-Doh. Stopped her up for 2 weeks.
Berta, please.
Finally pooped out an ashtray.
Berta.
That's the day I quit smoking.
John Cryer posted a lengthy tribute to her on Twitter, and he just said she was a beautiful woman, beautiful human being.
And so. Charlie Sheen did as well.
Yep. Let me see. What else do I have for you? Oprah Winfrey is doing what she can to get out the vote. Her first grassroots outreach effort launched with Beto O'Rourke's Powered by the People org was a success. She recalled that her first contact was with a man named Christian, was slightly surprised, so she was just calling, cold calling people.
Cold calling people, yes.
She said...
Honestly, if someone called your home saying they were Oprah Winfrey, you would not believe them for a second. I don't care how hard they tried to convince you. There'd be no way.
He seemed a little starstruck, she said, and said, I just want to confirm this is Oprah. After she broke the ice, she chatted about the power of the vote, and she wrote, since I can't go knocking on people's doors, this. So she's actually doing it. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd pretty much.
I'd hang up.
Yeah, most likely. 3 months after her death, John Travolta shared a sweet birthday tribute to Kelly Preston. I had forgotten she died.
Yeah.
There's been so much going on in the world. I had forgotten about that.
Everything like that seems as if it happened 3 years ago.
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 66-year-old shared on Instagram, happy birthday, hon. I found this photo of my mom and dad's wedding. It was nice to see ours alongside theirs. All my love, John. Preston died June 12th at 57 following a 2-year battle with breast cancer, of course. So it was sad to be reminded of that.
So Olivia Newton-John obviously is dear friends with John Travolta as well. So she posted a whole bunch of stuff, and there was a donation. She's currently fighting breast cancer as
right,
well.
Right.
So it's a horrible, horrible disease.
James Vanderbeek and his family have reached their new Texas home. The Dawson's Creek alum shared on social media, in the last 10 months, we've had 2 late-term pregnancy losses, each of which put my wife, Kimberly, in the hospital. We spent Christmas break thinking that she had a tumor. The doctor was wrong, thank God, he said. A business colleague I hired hijacked the project and stabbed me in the back. I was prematurely booted off a reality dancing show. I was favored to win in front of the whole world, and my mom died as well. And a shutdown due to coronavirus. He wrote that all of that led to some drastic changes in our lives and dreams and priorities and landed us here overflowing with profound gratitude today. So
does he have a ranch or something, or I doubt he moved to a city.
Yeah, that's a good question, Steve. I don't know exactly.
It's not in the city. It's in the middle of nowhere. And he wrote about this thing about what freedom means to him, and he's 1,500 miles away from any place he's ever lived. It looks really freeing. It looks really wide and open and pretty gorgeous.
A lot of people selected to do that. Obviously, it's in the news. There's been a mass migration out of the cities in general.
Right.
Just to get out and get some space. And, I don't know if I could be 1,500 miles away from a Wawa.
I think he's just 1,500 miles away from where he used to live. He's not 1,500 miles into wilderness.
Right.
But it does look, like he's out in a completely rural area where they need some space.
Does he have armadillos on his ranch?
I got to believe it's crawling with armadillos.
They're adorable.
Yeah. Sandra Bullock is set to star in and produce a new action romance film called The Lost City of D. The film.
From What's Happening?
Finally. I used to love the. The film follows a romance author who finds that one of the fictional cities that she wrote about is real.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's the subtitle of the movie. What's Happening?
Ooh. It should be. So,
a minute. What's Happening was only on for 3 seasons.
I know. The impact is immeasurable.
You gotta be kidding me.
Blows my mind.
Thanks, Reed.
I'm so happy Reed is here today.
Me too.
I brought this up for you, Steve. Kristen Cavallari announced her split from Jay Cutler in April. In April, after 10 years together, soon after she revealed that Barry Cavallari, the show, would come to an end after 3 seasons. She recently was on the Kelly Clarkson show and said that while ending the show was hard, it was ultimately the right decision for her and her family.
Deep down, I knew that.
She said, once I made the decision, I had such a sense of relief. I was getting a lot of anxiety about it, but my life has changed very much. I was going to expose my divorce on camera and have my kids see that one day, so I decided to walk away from it.
She posted a picture. Did you see her picture on Instagram of her? She's in the...
Whoa.
She's in the, is that it?
Yeah, topless with a thong bikini bottom.
Yeah.
Wowee.
And she takes a lot of pictures like that.
That's a post-breakup picture.
Yes,
yes,
it is.
Brittany was in town this weekend.
Was she?
Yeah, she was.
From Barry Cavallari?
Yes.
I thought she had broken up with her boyfriend because he...
You never saw pictures of him.
He went away on Instagram. Now he's back on Instagram.
I know. She's still working with Kristen Cavallari,
she's still...
She's like her second-hand girl.
I mean, they still have the stores and stuff like that in Nashville. Popular. So, and I think they're opening a new one or opened a new one.
Okay. I want to work there. You know, folding clothes.
Right. Right. Let's see. Oh, MTV International is rebooting MTV Cribs.
Okay.
With guest Caitlyn Jenner, Nickelodeon personality and singer JoJo Siwa, former Glee star Kevin...
And here is my crossbow collection.
Glee star Kevin McHale and British singer Stefflon Don. So
I love that show.
I like that show, too.
I really did. I love seeing the homes. It's like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Anything like that gets me.
And so I'd rather have that than a Kardashians in their luxury all the time type of show.
Shows like different places.
I like to take a peek into that world, but I don't want to live with that world for a long time. So I think this could be cool, maybe.
So you remember Casey McDonald? Locally, she hosts a show. Like I saw coming attractions for it. I forget what I was watching.
Yeah, I saw that.
But
too.
She hosts a show that's basically like the $35-40 million Malibu homes that you always see in commercials and stuff like that. Yeah, and so she's the host of that show.
I don't know what it's on.
It's on like a Fox Business or something.
Okay.
The gal was on Fox 29 here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is she still in Kansas City?
No, I think she was in Boston for a stretch. She was working for NESN. And
she was dating Aaron...
No, she's her boyfriend's Eric Hosmer.
Yeah, exactly.
He's on the...
I got confused. I'm sorry.
She was dating a quarterback, but that didn't work.
Joe Namath?
Yeah, exactly.
He wanted to kiss her.
Eric Hosmer's on the Padres.
All right, and then one last story before we move on to the clips. The sequel to Coming to America has reportedly been sold to Amazon Studios for $125 million.
Which means no regular theatrical release, right? It's going to start streaming.
Let's see. Available for streaming the week before Christmas. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
I just can't hide it.
You're about to lose control and you think you like it.
Right, Reed.
I just hope it's good. I just hope it lives up to the original because I still love it.
I am encouraged by the fact that the people behind this are huge fans of the original.
Yeah.
And, you know, but over the weekend, remember the vampire in Brooklyn?
It
was terrible.
Yeah, I know.
It was so terrible.
Eddie Murphy is brilliant.
Yes.
But he doesn't have the complete Midas touch. That everything he does
no,
is great.
No.
I mean, there's been some stinkers along the way, but... When he plays those multi-character roles, my God, he is so good.
You can tell in that movie they were going one direction and they knew it wasn't working.
Really?
So they threw in some of those Coming to America characters that he does so well.
Yeah.
Where he was playing these, and it's like,
it just didn't
is this supposed to be a horror? What is this?
Well, so what works so well for Coming to America was Fish Out of Water, and they can't do that again. Right. So.
Right.
Yeah, that story's been told.
That story's been told, and it's been 30 years. You should know what basketball is by now.
That was the problem with Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
After being in the country for, you know, 31 years, it's like, that's what you call a hooker.
But I wonder if we're going to see more of Zamunda.
That'd be cool. You know?
Yeah. Make it like Wakanda.
Coming to Zamunda.
Yeah.
Would be good. All right. So let's do the clips. A group of girls in their senior year of high school tried to turn their love lives around in time for the homecoming dance in American Pie Presents Girls Rules. Oh. They're still doing American Pie movies?
Man.
Wow. In this clip, writer and director Mike Elliott discusses when he first saw the original American Pie.
I remember I was shooting a picture in Canada at the time, and I just went to the theater alone, and I didn't know anything about it. I was like, "Oh, American Pie, what's that?" And I was kind of blown away by it. I was like, it was such a kind of honest portrayal about teenage sexuality.
Play you.
American Pie.
Who knew I'd be directing the 17th installment of it?
American Pie Presents Girls Rules is streaming now on Netflix and is available on demand. Here's the next clip. Hubie Halloween.
I watched it.
I did too.
Yeah,
so did Casey. He loved it. Is a new spooky comedy from the mind of Adam Sandler, and he continues his partnership with Netflix. In this clip, Kevin James discusses getting used to filming at night. Here we go.
It was great. It was hilarious to do it, and very hard to get used to, by the way, because a lot of the night shoots I did, I couldn't see anything. I had to drive the squad car, and I was like, are you kidding me? I can't do this, man. So I almost killed like four people, but it was all right. It was worth it.
Yeah! Hubie Halloween is streaming now on Netflix, so... there you go.
Yeah, you didn't like it as much as I did, Press.
Nope.
I laughed out loud many, many times.
I thought it was fun. I said to my wife, do you want to watch something that's going to be really stupid? We might get a couple laughs. Because that's the way you frame it.
That's pretty much exactly what it was. That's kind of it for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Casey thought it was outstanding.
It was like a special night. Me and my son, we were the only ones home. We ordered a pizza. We sat down. We watched it. And we just, both of us, laughed out loud many times. It's just a dumb, silly movie, and it delivers.
It delivers exactly. It's what you think it is. It's exactly that.
Yep.
And so I wasn't disappointed.
Yep. All right. That's the entertainment report. We got a lot of stuff to get to, including Kevin Smith on the show today.
Yeah.
Alan Alda on the show today, which is very, very cool. And we're going to go live on Fox Good Day, and we have some giveaways with Pagano's Market and Bar. And that's in conjunction with the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night home gate kickoff. You can go to WMMR.com. It's your chance to win some goodies. We'll do some giveaways with Pagano's throughout the course of the program. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Acme Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger beginning Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. More this year than most, we really need your help to make Camp Out a success. You can make a difference right now. Visit your local Acme during October and November and make a donation at the register when you check out. Acme will ensure your generous gift goes right to Phil Abundance to purchase food that's a lifeline for area families in need. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Camp Out for Hunger from Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
So we have a meeting today for our Camp Out for Hunger, which we're getting ready for November 16th. It's going to be actually 2 weeks earlier than we normally have it. And I have a request from Rodney Bird, engineer god that he is. And Rodney puts all the physical stuff together to make sure that we have everything that we need. It's going to be different this year. We're not going to be having a big tent where everybody can come and congregate in. It's going to be a different story. We'll roll out exactly what that is when we're ready to reveal the details and they're all sewn up. But we do have a request. Rodney has asked, he said, can you go on air and see if someone would be willing to give us a modular office trailer for the camp out? He said, since we're not building the big tent, we need somewhere to house our production technical area. So if you have access to that, I guess email Nick.
Yeah, I'll forward it on to Rodney. And we're going to need some help this year on a lot of different levels. And if Rodney asks for something, we want to help him.
Yeah. So Nick at WMMR.com, if you have a modular office trailer that we could use for the Camp Out for Hunger, and of course we will compensate you and we'll work something out.
Free t-shirts and stuff.
Listen.
Yeah, you know,
t-shirts.
Yeah.
Check around the house. Maybe you have one you didn't realize you had.
Yeah. In the basement.
Yeah.
Look what we got down here.
Ma, you know how that modular thing did the radio. They're saying they need one.
So if you know someone who can help out, make sure you contact Nick at WMMR.com because we want to make sure that this year's camp out is as good as it possibly can be, given the restrictions.
Got to say, just on that note, Preston, I'm getting excited about the potential of how... Yeah, obviously, we're gonna adapt and roll with the changes, as a great band once instructed us to do.
Yes.
And I'm excited about the potential for it.
And don't forget, you can donate now at Acme Markets, and you'll probably see a couple of guys hanging out front.
Wow.
To remind you of that.
Don't you hate pictures of ourselves?
Cardboard cutout. Steve, I'm just rolling with the changes.
Roll with the changes. You know what, though? People are taking pictures with us.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, so make sure you help out if you can. We'd appreciate it. If not, we understand.
Got to hit the first lyric if you...
We'll get up to it next year. Okay, all right. It's only 3 seconds away or so.
As soon as you are able, and I am willing.
Come on.
Everybody!
Everybody!
Roll with the changes.
Come on,
everybody!
Thank you, Reach. Hey, I'm sure you guys saw this. This video was all over social media. This guy named Kyle Burgess was on a run at Slate Canyon, and he saw, apparently this is the story, he saw four small animals that were scampering around on the trail ahead. He didn't realize what they were at first. He thought maybe they were bobcats, but a little bit later on, their mother came into view, and it dawned out to him that he was in big trouble. They were mountain lion cubs, the mother was going to protect them at all costs. Kathy, did you see this video
footage? Oh, yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, and it went on for 6 minutes. This guy is trying to get away from this mother cougar,
and she is pissed off.
You know what? It's simultaneously a couple things. The terror. Now, a cougar is certainly formidable.
Oh my God! Yes.
But the how nature kicks in and the protective nature of the mother to do this and stay with the potential threat for 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Escorting him away.
Right.
So if you haven't seen the video, he's walking backwards. She is walking up this gravel trail that he's on. And every, you know, 10 yards or so, she'll kind of make a lunge towards him.
Like
and,
a show.
Yeah. So the front paws come way out and scratch and make all this big show and kick up dust and everything. Yeah. But you're looking at that animal going, you know, this thing could kill me. This could absolutely, because they are powerful, and obviously they have the if they get their claws into you and grab on.
Yeah, that's the issue.
That you are in a world of trouble.
Because they're not bear big, but they're strong, they get the claws, and they get to your neck.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which is, so never let a cougar nibble your neck.
No?
No.
What if it starts off like nice?
No, that's the big thing they do. That's the, that's the decoy move.
I mean, listen, just like you guys, I watched this entire thing. I was sitting at my kitchen table. My wife was there listening to me watch it, and I kept commenting on it. I'm like, why is this guy, what is he, why didn't he, you know, and I when I go hike or when I go for a walk in the woods, I should say, I always make sure I have at least like a knife with me or
to stab cougars.
You do? Because I don't take a knife with me when I go for a walk.
Well, in the woods, if I'm going to be...
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, well, listen.
Casey brings one so he can mug people.
I mean, not Kathy? A bad idea, but I wouldn't think that this guy would automatically have a knife on him.
I bring a knife with me for, like, what if there's a psycho person out there? You know, what if there's...
Why don't you just tell me that?
Why don't you just... also for animals, or in case I get snagged on something. And I think I started doing that ever since I watched 127 hours.
Yes.
And I was like, okay.
What if I need to cut an appendage?
If I need to cut my hand off, I can't do that if I don't have a knife. So, but this guy, I'm like, why, you know, but he eventually revealed, you know, as he's, you know, walking away from this cougar, why he's not prepared in such a way. He was going for a run.
He was coming from a wedding.
But he was going for a run. Yes. So when you do that, you don't necessarily... You're not packing, right?
Usually.
Yeah.
By the way, if anybody does have... If they've had an encounter with, I mean, an animal that you think could kill you.
Yes.
Because I do... Like, a friend of mine was hunting one time, and he realized... He was being stalked by a bear.
Whoa.
And so whether it was the size of one that could kill him or not, it didn't matter.
Doesn't matter. I don't care.
But he saw the movements of the bear and that the bear was following him for a reason. So I'm sure we have loads of hunters that spend their time out in the wilderness. 215-263-WMMR. So by the way, Casey, and I know you read ahead on this, but to answer your question as to, because my first inclination was, or my thought about this guy was that, you know, pick up these rocks that are lying on the ground and start throwing them. He said every time he took his eyes off her or tried to stoop down for a rock to throw at her, the mountain lion, that's when she would lunge at him.
Yeah.
So what you're
it's
seeing
a sign of weakness.
So what you're seeing in the video of when she starts lunging and sweeping out like that is when he was trying to either stop or to reach down. And with each pounce, her front paws and claws flared. Her powerful hind legs were kicking up dust and gravel. And did we get audio of it?
Yeah, we do have audio. But that's why I was like yelling. I'm like, because you see him walking on the trail. I'm like, why is he not pick up a rock? Pick up a rock. Like, dude, they're right there. Just at least on the very off chance.
There's a rock right over there.
On the very off chance that you get attacked, not to throw it, but to have something to, like,
to hit it with.
Yeah.
All right, here's some audio of him while this is happening.
Oh, you,
as you can imagine.
By the way, that's the cougar talking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Holy sh face.
Did he say S face?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh.
And
at some point, he goes, "You're good. You're a good little kitty cat."
Yeah.
He's nice trying and slow. Everything.
Come on. He's got the
right... I actually thought he did a good job. Like, well, I was thinking of myself in the situation, and I think he walked backwards for 6 minutes. I mean, at that point, I would have had a heart attack and probably jumped off the cliff.
Yeah, so, Casey, according to... there was an expert in this... in this particular article, it's really, really long, but he said that Burgess did almost everything right. He said he backed away. He didn't go toward the mountain lion or her kittens. He made a lot of noise. He stayed large. He stayed loud, and he backed away from the area for quite a while. He said, I think he did everything really, really well. The only suggestion this expert had was don't run alone on a trail.
Yes.
And maybe carry bear spray.
Some
is
sort
probably
of,
the best thing to have with you.
There's no way I would have any wherewithal to do anything that you're supposed to do.
Right?
My adrenaline would be pumping so much, I don't think I'd run walk backwards.
Yeah, you'd probably turn around and run, right?
Yeah, and
which
to do
is exactly what you don't want to do.
Do it for 6 minutes seems mind-boggling. And also, it just seems a little odd to me that the cougar followed him for 6 entire minutes.
Right?
You know, that's a long time for a wild animal
without
to
calling
stop
a sitter, right? For the cubs that it's...
she left four cubs behind.
I would have tripped and fell. I know, like walking backwards, I would have been so nervous.
So these things attack usually. They come up from behind and they'll go for the neck. That's how they suppress their victims. But this... he was doing well. Keeping the eye contact is essential. If you notice, like if you've ever looked at an animal, looked at your dog in the eyes or a cat, they'll start.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
I can't maintain eye contact with people. Right. Wild animals stalking me. I'm just, I'd go, I don't know. I would not probably have done very
well
in this
situation. Do you think you would have run with your back to the animal?
I think, yes. I think I would have turned around and run away. And I would have, dove off the cliff to get away from this thing. You know, I just...
I run with a belt of hand grenades around me.
That's true.
By the way, real quick, Casey, he was finally able to pick up a rock.
Yeah.
And he hit her with it, and that's what drove her away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said, I nailed her, and she took off running back down the trail.
You know what? He was saved by rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. generally speaking, if you're going to get attacked by a cougar, you're not going to see it coming. So that's, you know, I read all sorts of stuff after this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was doing the right things by making noises, but he, what I read was he should have made longer, louder noises, not short,
right.
But more
he couldn't breathe.
Yeah, I know.
It's the
know.
Same for a bear, pressing your friend who is being stalked by a bear. You've got to get big, as they say, with your arms out wide and long sustained noises. I was telling, maybe it was you, Nick, last week when I was hiking in Canada with my wife and we were on a trail. You've got to be, they have you banging pots and blowing whistles and the whole thing. You've got to make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
He realized that it was the reason that the bear was following was he was upwind from the bear.
Ah.
And so the bear was picking up his scent and probably had a cub in the area or something like that and was instinctively trying to protect or something. It's been a while since I heard the story.
But that whole getting big thing, all animals do that. That's the thing, see these birds that ruffle out their feathers.
Yeah. And, turkeys do that.
Yeah.
They get really, really big and they start scraping their feathers on the ground.
Of course, it's a turkey. Everyone just starts laughing.
Yeah. Cats do it when their back goes up. It's pretty wild.
And in fact, if you notice in this footage, the cougar starts to turn sideways, and so its profile is bigger to the guy he's stalking.
Casey, humans do it, too.
Yeah.
When you're about to get in a fight, that's why some people do the stupid thing of putting their arms down and puffing up their chest like this, which is the stupidest thing you could possibly do. But it's an instinctual way of saying, I am big. I'm bigger than you.
It's built into you.
And it's just a natural.
Do you do helicopters? I do that.
Woo, 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 woo.
This guy's insane.
It's only in hotel rooms.
But. And also, another thing, when I was training in martial arts, some of the telltale signs you want to look for is eyes become wider and bigger. And it's your body's natural, you're trying to take in more sensory.
Yes.
So that you're aware.
And that's programmed into us over centuries.
Yeah.
So I guess he took out his phone because he saw the cubs, but it's also interesting that he was able to film this entire time. I mean, would you guys have kept your phone out to get footage of this thing?
I don't know. I would. You never know. I might try to make my peace and let my loved ones know.
Maybe.
That I love them.
Yeah.
Because that's real, and those thoughts might be going through your mind.
Would you have time to do a last-second drum video?
Tell the cougar to pause.
This is my tribute to Journey.
Maybe.
This is John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yes. Yeah. I should, you know.
Yeah. O-C-K in the USA.
By the way, to give you, speaking of John Cougar Mellencamp, the long song I Need a Lover That Won't Drive Me Crazy, I was thinking about how to put 6 minutes into perspective, and the one I came up with was that's the entirety of Paradise City.
Yeah.
That's how long that guy was being chased by this cougar. That's a long song.
Hey, did they indicate how big that cougar was by any chance?
Cougars can get to be about
that one in particular.
I don't know. There's usually way stations every couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, I missed that one.
I didn't read anything about how big it might have been cased.
But I think on average, Nick, and you can check, I think a moderately large-sized cougar is about 120 pounds.
But if you've even ever had a kitten latch onto you, it's like,
oh, you think you're gonna die? Yeah,
you know,
attacking.
I know.
The thing is, again, with these, they are such gorgeous animals that you're as you're looking at the footage of it, even with what it's doing, and since it's so similar to the normal house cat, you're like, oh. But think of yourself alone on a trail with that coming at you.
I would not be able to handle it. My cat attacked my leg once because I made it. Well,
did you make yourself big?
No. It was last Christmas. I was putting Christmas decorations away, and she jumped up on one of the boxes and knocked it over, so all of the glass balls went flying everywhere. So I screamed because I didn't know what had happened, and she got so freaked out by the noise that she like latched onto my leg, and I ran from her, ran in a room and shut the door. She's like the sweetest cat. She sleeps with me every night.
Right.
I couldn't even handle my little kitten doing that.
You wouldn't be good.
No.
Don't go running with Kathy on remote trails.
We already know this. Yeah.
By the way, here's the details Nick pulled up about cougars. Adult males stand about 30 inches tall at the shoulder. Adult female cougars rarely exceed about 110 pounds.
Okay.
So it could have been, you know, anywhere between like 80 and 100. Right.
Still big, man. My dog's 80 pounds, you know?
And it's a big dog.
All
right. So let me go to some calls. I'm going to go to Mary. Hi, Mary. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Mary?
You're talking about cougar attacks. And about 7 or 8 years ago, my cousin, she worked out, I think, in Wyoming at a big cat sanctuary. And basically, she was mauled to death by one of her cougars.
Oh,
she was mauled to death by one of her cougars.
My God.
Yeah, she was actually in taking care of the pen, but her partner wasn't with her. And she went in to get the equipment out, and it just turned on her, and passed away.
So, not to get too graphic, but did the cougar attack in the classic way? Did the cougar go for her throat?
I'm not actually sure of the details on it. I just heard secondhand because she was out in Wyoming. But that's
why you always hear. And again, those are always seem to be the protocols that you never enter a cage with those animals by yourself. You know,
that was always their staple, that they had to do that.
Yeah.
Her partner
had
something else going on. And what the saddest part is, I mean, she was like a month older than me. So there was like a couple cousins that were like all within a month of each other. And she just had a 6-month-old baby.
That's horrible.
And here's somebody who was working with these animals.
Should have known.
Well, not just should have known, but I mean that, you know.
No, she actually was like on National Geographic and all these other shows saying that they are not house pets.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, no question.
And she knew everything, and she's been with this cougar since it got there, so she knew all its tells, but it turned.
I think sometimes what happens is the people who are the experts or the people that do this on a routine basis get almost lulled in with their own familiarity with the behaviors, and they think, okay, I can do this. I know what's going on. And
most of the time they do, but then, me knowing my cousin from growing up and stuff, she's always had that, okay, she even, like, specifically said it on any of the shows she was on. Wild animal, you cannot trust
them. True, yeah.
And, all right. Yeah. What I think it was is they might have caught a scent of something.
Maybe, yeah. All right, Mary, terrible story, but thanks for sharing. It just goes to show how seriously you got to take that.
Yeah.
Let me go to Robert. Robert, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Nothing much. Just called in to tell a little.
You're talking to us on the show this morning, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your story involving an animal?
So when I first turned 18, I wanted to go on a pretty serious camping trip and went to a state forest in Pennsylvania, you know, thousands of acres. Basically, when a sundown was coming, I was hearing a lot of crackling going on. Eventually saw a big black bear on the ridge, grabbed all my stuff. And like Casey was saying, I had my shotgun. You know, I came prepared. I knew where I was at. Then I had to walk backwards for about 2.5 miles in the dark, because just in case, you know.
Yeah, was the bear stalking you, coming after you, or you just saw it and were like, yeah, I'm out of here?
It was coming to the campsite, and at that point at night.
Yeah.
That was my...
figured the safest thing to do would be to flee in the night.
Well, you know, he took my safe spot, you know?
Okay. All right, Robert.
All right.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let me go to... All right, here's one. Listen to this. This is Casey's nightmare.
No!
I'm going to go to Robbie. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, what's going on?
Yo, bud. Want to hear your story. This sounds interesting.
Okay, so I had a interesting shark encounter while surfing in Maryland.
Okay.
I'm out in the water about 100 yards out on the sandbar, you know, pretty far away from shore.
Yeah.
And this big fin pops up like 30 yards away from me, and it is just this big fin, and then I moved my feet up on the board, right? And
yeah.
When I moved, I caught the shark's attention.
Oh, no.
And it turns and swims right at me. The fin came, like, right up to me and goes underwater right before my board, and the thing swam right underneath of me.
Whoa.
So were you able to determine, so from the dorsal fin to the tail fin, you can kind of get an idea of how big the shark is? Did you any guesstimate as to how big the shark was?
It was like getting a little dark and the water's murky, so I could only see the fin. But it was definitely a pretty big fin and definitely not a dolphin. I've seen like tons of dolphins, you know.
Right. Yeah. So did have you did that dissuade you from doing evening surfing or low light surfing?
No.
Of course not.
Well, you get so pitted. I mean,
so pitted.
I get it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I paddled in after that, but
that had to have freaked you out a bit, and you were you like, just like, dear God, just let me get to the shore,
just let me be pitted.
Well, you know, you got to calmly paddle in and not like too much.
Yeah. All right,
Robbie.
God, I forget that, right, Case? I mean, that's
thanks, bro.
That, and there's footage that exists now because a lot of people will fly their drones out over the beach, and you'll see, unbeknownst to surfers, sharks cruising under their boards. It is terrifying.
Let me go to Rick. Hi, Rick. You're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
Pike County, just up north in the Poconos, off of 402. Family has a cabin. And years ago, when I was, you know, in my early teens, me and my dad were up in the woods behind our cabin hunting small game, and had some animals in the jacket, and we were heading back towards the cabin and noticed a bear off in the distance. Pretty large one, probably 300-400 pounds.
Yeah.
And started coming towards us, and he was about 100 or 200 yards out, but he was closing the distance quicker than we were getting back to the cabin. And by the time he got to about 30 yards from us, he stood on his front paws and kind of jumped up and grunted at us.
Oh my God.
And we looked at me and my dad looked at each other like, oh crap. And my dad kicked at him. He turned around, only went about two, 3 feet, and then turned back and growled at us again. Shot the shotgun straight up in the air, and it didn't even faze him.
Didn't scare him.
Okay.
Didn't even faze him.
Wow.
So, luckily, we weren't too far from the cabin. We hauled
falls back there pretty quick. But
well, there's a point at which you cease to shoot up in the air and shoot at it. But
it's shotguns aren't going to do much of anything.
I know. At least do something. But
might scare them away.
But the that people are unaware of how fast your average bear can book. They run very fast, and it had to be alarming. Yeah,
but he was definitely following you guys. That's the scary part about it. I mean, seeing a bear is kind of freaky enough as well. But once you realize, he likes us.
There are those little telltale signs. Sir. They start intercepting your mail.
Right,
right. They ask about you in town.
They're legit stalking you.
Right.
Okay, here's an offbeat one. I'm going to go. I have two ones that you certainly wouldn't find around here. I'm going to go to Roger. Hey, Roger, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right, so you were followed by a wild animal, a dangerous animal?
Yeah, so I was in Australia for like the vacation of a lifetime. And the day before I went on a 7-mile hike, the tour guide had talked about a bird called a cassowary.
Yeah, they have very like velociraptor claws.
Yes, very sharp talon feet, mm-hmm. and a big bone on top of its head that can crush through your rib cage.
Oh, great.
So that's Australia for you. Welcome.
So I was actually in a different part of Australia for a different part of the tour, but it got canceled. So I went on the site by myself. And so the guy said, do not, you know, if it chases you or runs at you, look big, grab something big, yell, scream. So I'm thinking, what's the chance of me coming upon one? So I'm about 3.5 miles into the hike, and I saw it. So then all of a sudden my heart starts beating. So I kind of back up, you know, like I tiptoe back up in the middle of the forest by myself, and I wait like 20 minutes. And I peer around, I don't see it. So I start hiking again while I came upon it again.
It waited.
And it saw. And it turned towards me. And I started to, like, almost number two myself and number one myself and number three myself all the same.
Right. So there was one and two and then sort of a stew.
Yeah. So then all of a sudden we heard this big noise. Well, its head kind of stuck up. And I'm almost 6 feet, so it was almost as tall as me. It started charging towards me. I jumped up, hands above my head, screamed as loud as I could. It ran towards me and then ran into the bushes. And I was just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then... And to make the story even better, since I was in Australia, I pretty much walked quickly the next 3.5 miles, got off out of the park, and started walking back. And I saw signs everywhere for crocodiles. To be on the lookout for crocodiles.
Honestly, it's a beautiful country with robust people, but they can all go F themselves.
Exactly. And have you ever seen the movie Wolf Creek?
Yes, I have.
Well, some guy stopped by and asked me if I wanted a ride. Not moving once around my mind. Said, no, I'm good.
Yeah, Wolf Creek is like an Aussie Texas Chainsaw.
Thanks, Roger. Okay. That's a wild story. Speaking of crocodiles, you see the other video of the guy in the water getting bit on the shoulder by an alligator?
No.
He's in alligator-infested water. He's just sitting there, and this thing comes up. It just nips him.
Yeah.
But he gets out of the water in split-second timing.
Oh, my God.
We got to take a break. Real quick, Aaron, very quickly, tell your story.
We were on a training op in Thailand, and we were walking back to the radio tent, and we couldn't figure out why this short black cable was next to the other radio cables.
Oh, my God.
And so as we're walking up, it starts to move, and we start to realize it's a snake, and then it pops up and does its king cobra stuff like I saw in Aladdin. Mm.
Big hooded head.
Yes. So what do we do as Marines? We all just surround it, start shining lights on it, throw stuff at it. Pretty stupid. Start striking the ground.
Oh, my God.
We didn't really understand it was King Cobra at the time. And we were just like, oh, sweet. You know, let's just mess with the snake.
Yeah, mess with the King Cobra. What could happen?
Yeah, no, we had no idea. Finally, our higher-ups, which, you know, at that time is a more mature adult, says, we have to kill this. And... So he hits it in the head with a sledgehammer, or a cinder block, sorry.
Jeez.
And the next, which I'm assuming he got lucky, because I would hate to miss that. I mean,
yeah.
So the next morning, we go out, because we want to know how big it was. So there's a picture of me holding this thing at chest level. It goes all the way down to my shoes and crawls onto the ground a little bit.
So do king cobras, are there spitting king cobras, or is that an entirely different species?
I don't know if it was spitting or not. I just know that when we got
back to figure out what it was. We looked it up on the internet, and we found that it could kill like a full-grown elephant in like 2 hours.
We're sure.
Like, man, we had no idea what we were effing with.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah.
King cobras.
That's nuts. All right, thanks, Aaron.
And then the best part.
By the way, Aaron didn't keep his story short, so now we have to keep going until we go live on Fox Good Day. Just telling
you.
No, so
we still should take a break.
Oh, we should?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
All right, go ahead, Aaron.
Then the Thai locals, they felt it would be nice to put a shrine up to this king cobra, so they put it in the Y of a tree, and then a few days later, the army ants that are there just devoured this thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Don't go to Thailand.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate
that's awesome.
It. Dude.
Jesus.
That's terrifying. All right. Interesting. But this video, if you haven't seen it yet, you can just search, cougar stalking or cougar attack. And you'll see this guy, Kyle, who was chased for like 6 minutes straight of this cougar. She was...
Let me ask you something. Did you do a lot of running in this area?
Yes, it was that type of cougar.
But if you go to PressAndSteve.com, you can see the video right there.
Perfect. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back in a moment, and we'll go live on Fox Good Day. You know what? I'm going to give a $25 gift card away to Pagano's Market and Bar.
Nice.
20th and Market, essentially. 215-263-WMMR. The Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night, Homegate kickoff. I'll tell you more about that when we get back. So caller number, did I say a number? Call number 10.
Yay!
215-263-WMMR. We'll be right back.
WMMR.com, a great way to stay up to date on the latest rock news and station happenings. Listen live via your laptop, the free mobile app, or just tell your smart speaker to play MMR. From Preston and Steve's Daily Rush to Pierre's Weekend Calendar and the latest on Jackson's Local Shots, it's everything that rocks your computer.
I need to find out when we're going live on Fox Good Day.
All this stuff.
It sounds like now.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
There's one passenger. So somebody did a survey on this. They collected the things that are heard. Who are you listening to? Is that Nicki Minaj? What? The driver says, no, that's just a voicemail of my mom yelling at me.
I don't know if they know where I'm with them.
So it's not only conversations that the driver hears, but the passengers hear the driver as well. So he's on his phone.
I'll play the passenger. You play the driver, okay?
Should we do that? Well, let me try.
Okay, no, you already did that one. We can do the next one.
Okay.
So passenger. Does anyone know of a place that does couples massages for you and your dog?
I think we're killing this segment here.
Oh, okay. So we're not on the air? All right, let's go to Marissa. Hang on. What happened there, Marissa?
Sorry about that, guys. Fox didn't tell us that our audio was not well, so they just continued on with their show and failed to inform us. So we're going to can it today. We'll revisit this next week.
Oh. Okay, that's how it's going to be then.
We're going to play it that way, huh?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. Let's take a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, what's up?
Could listen to another Cobra story.
What's up?
All right, we've got an accident on the Schuylkill Expressway. It's the eastbound. Excuse me.
Don't cry. It's okay. We'll be on Fox next week.
It's okay, baby.
The eastbound
side.
Later,
sweetheart.
All right, keep doing that. I need to drink a lot.
All right,
what's
see,
wrong, baby? Yeah. Everything getting a little wound up today.
Yeah, it happens.
It's okay.
All right, it's on the eastbound side from the
to all the girls.
The Blue Route to Conshohocken. The accident is off to the shoulder, so you're pretty much stopped right there. We'll keep you updated on that one.
What have you been swallowing?
And then, on the westbound side, University to 30th Street is your delay. The Boulevard out to the Blue Route. South on 95 jams Cotman through to Bridge, Aramingo through to Girard on the Vine. Westbound, it's heavy Broad Street to the Schuylkill. An accident on the Blue Route. Northbound at the Mid-County Tolls, the right lane is blocked. It's right at the high-speed lanes. You're jammed back to Germantown Pike. And then in New Jersey, expect delays on 55 northbound, just north of Deptford to the 42 freeway. This traffic report brought to you by Ford. It's your month, America, because this is Ford Truck Month, the best time to get great deals on F-150, Super Duty, and Ford Ranger. Trucks as tough as the people who drive them, so get moving, America, and get to Ford Truck Month today. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thanks, Kev. Real quick, I got to play catch up on a couple of shard outs if you guys don't mind, because I had set these aside and then we had extra days off and I didn't get to do it. So it says, hey guys, can you give an extra a shard out to my husband Jeremy for our fifth wedding anniversary, which is Friday, October 9th. So I missed it on Friday. He's such a huge fan of the show and you guys are such a big part of the relationship. Jeremy is a hard working, caring person. He's made my life so much better. He deserves a wet shard out for all he's done for me and our 5 years of marriage. Here's to many more years of laughter and adventure. That is from Melissa Slappy.
Slappy!
Did Did I do that one?
I think you did that one, actually, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I remember the name Slappy.
Yeah, Jeremy emailed us, and so we got both sides of that equation. So Jeremy emailed, and now his wife emailed. But they're both listening, and I think they were on a road trip to Maine or something like that.
Well, we've satisfied the Slappies.
Yes. Happy Annie, Slappies.
Happy Annie.
All right. What?
What is this? Slappy Pappy.
The catchphrase comedy tour.
Here's another one. It says, morning, I'm going to send a shout out to my friend on his birthday. My friend Chris Conover, a.k.a. Riggs. He is a loyal listener and one of the best friends anyone could ever ask for. He's constantly referencing the show. Huh. And it's awesomeness. His birthday is on October 10th. If you could do a big, juicy shout out, that'd be even better. Thank you in advance, Adam Shapiro in Hamilton, New Jersey. So there you go. Happy birthday.
Oh, slap it, happy. Wait, wait.
Thank you.
Here is, it says, hey, good morning. Good morning, it, Mr. Presbo. I walked into an office at Abington Memorial Hospital, and the girls were playing WMMR. Veronica said that they listen every single day, so could you please give a shout-out to the amazing staff at 2 Levy. Whenever you get around to it, it's fine. I'm bothering you at work, and I'm not sorry. Regards, Brendan Stewart. So here's a shout-out.
That's awesome.
Gang at Abington Memorial Hospital, thank you so much. And then, hang on, I got to make sure. Yeah, so this was this past Saturday, and we all know and love this guy. I got this email from Wendy Sheridan. She said, hey, Preston, see, my brother Chris McAden is turning 40 on Saturday. This is Smiling Chris.
He is awesome.
Chris has been a huge fan of the Preston and Steve show for ages. He comes out to all of our events. It's just great when you see his face because you're like, there's Smiling Chris.
Nicest guy you'll ever meet.
He's 40 years old. Since we can't really throw a big party in this dumpster fire of a year that is 2020, I'm putting together a video of birthday wishes. He's a huge fan. So anyhow, he goes, your blood drives and all this other stuff. They're asking me to do it. It wasn't for a shout out. It was asking us to do a video for him. I'm sorry. I wasn't,
well, he's getting a shout out.
I wasn't supposed to read this on the air.
Well, all right.
Yeah. Ta-da! So anyway, if you're able to record this and wish him a happy 40th, I definitely win cold big sister points.
Well, the cameras are rolling, right?
Yeah, everybody look at the camera and on the count of three, say happy birthday. One, two, three.
Happy birthday, Chris! Hey, we love you, man. 40 years. Amazing, dude. We did this live on the air, too, for you. How about that?
We never do that.
So, anyhow, he's the best. And we got to hook him up. We need to find him a mate. He's been to our mixers, has yet to find love. Well, I don't know. It's been a while since we talked to him. Maybe he has found somebody.
Maybe
I don't
know. Banging him three deep.
You know, we can only help. An early happy birthday to Chris. All right, now we need to do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, brought to you by McGuff Bus Company. McGuff Bus Company is now hiring for experienced drivers. McGuff offers flexible schedules, industry top dollar pay, and more. You can visit McGuffBus.com for more information. This is an involved story, but definitely bizarre. It deserves to be right here where it is in the B file. Reacting to the latest scandal in a local Catholic church, an outraged New Orleans Archbishop Gregory Amond said Friday that he had actually burned the altar where a Pearl River priest was accused of taping himself engaging in group sex with two dominatrixes while an attorney for the women blasted authorities' decision to arrest the trio. I'm going to give you the whole story here, okay?
It's pretty wild.
In a video message posted on the Archdiocese website, Amond called the Reverend Travis Clark demonic and deplorable for hosting the two women for a romp in St. Peter's and Paul Catholic Church on the night of September 30th. Police arrested Clark, along with Mindy Dixon and Melissa Chang, an obscenity charge after an unidentified passerby saw the alleged threesome, used a cell phone to record video of the encounter, and then called the authorities. Now, attorney Bradley Phillips, who represents the two dominatrixes, Dixon and Chen, said the arrest was appalling. He argued that his client's conduct was both private and legal because it did not take place in public. He said the only pertinent question, he said, is if it took place in view of the public. Clearly, that is not the case. Now, neither Clark nor an attorney for him have spoken publicly about the alleged tryst, which involved the two women dressed in high heels and corsets performing sexual acts on a half-naked Clark as they recorded it all with a phone and tripod-mounted camera.
That's a lot to juggle.
confiscating plastic sex toys, stage lights, and the two recording devices from within the church. As evidence, officers booked all three with obscenity. Among the charges, definitions in Louisiana law are having sex in, quote, any place open to the public view. Police filed that the altar could be seen through the church's windows and glass doors.
Uh-huh.
So the arrests have created another scandal for the Archdiocese of New Orleans after a slew of recent disclosures about alleged child sexual abuse by clergy and the Archdiocese's own filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceedings. So this dogpiles on top of that. Until a decision comes from the DA's office on whether to file charges, investigators will be trying to fill the holes concerning what they know about how Chang and Dixon connected with Clark, whose 2013 ordination followed a vow of celibacy, of course. According to posts on their social media profiles and websites, Chang and Dixon create adult films that they post on web platforms that users pay to access. Dixon's professional social media profiles describe her as a satanic dominatrix. The day before her arrest, she published a message announcing that she was headed to New Orleans with Chang to defile a house of God. Meanwhile, an account associated with Chang expressed excitement about a secret project as well as a trip to New Orleans to film with a new friend. And the night ended, apparently that particular night, with an unidentified resident walking by the church. The person observed and had video of Chang and Dixon using plastic sex toys while engaging in intercourse with Clark, who was still partially wearing his priestly attire.
Oh, boy.
After police showed up and entered the church, the women said that they were recording role play with Clark's permission.
What are you folks doing?
The three have since bonded out of jail. And the head of the archdiocese, the archbishop, has burned the altar that was from the church.
I mean,
it was, wow.
Demonic sex acts on the altar. You can kind of see why he went that way.
Oh, he burned it. Yep.
We're just going to burn it.
We're going to do a follow-up on this story eventually, I'm certain of it. Well, a woman charged with sexually assaulting her fiancé with a screwdriver has been approved for supervised release. Police said Precious Bailey sexually assaulted her fiancé in 2018 after claiming that tarot cards told her that he had sexually assaulted her child.
The tarot cards told her?
That's exactly it. She admitted to beating her fiancé until he blacked out before sexually assaulting him with a screwdriver.
Wow. Okay, so what point of entry?
I can guess, but yeah, I don't have details on it.
Neither is very good, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, a judge approved a conditional release on Thursday, so she's out for now. Maybe we'll have a follow-up on that one,
too. Yeah.
A Southwest Airlines passenger said she was prevented from boarding her flight because her breasts were deemed lewd, obscene, and offensive, forcing the captain to actually lend her his T-shirt. Chicago resident Kayla Eubanks took to Twitter to document her dispute with ground staffers who said that her low-cut black halter top was too revealing. Eubanks tweeted along with a bathroom selfie showing her ensemble, which included a long red skirt. She wrote, "I really want to know why Southwest Air is policing my clothes like this.
Show us your boobs."
She said, "How will my shirt impact my flight for myself, the other passengers, or even the pilot? Y'all have a dress code for customers who pay to get on a plane. It's the constant policing of women's bodies for me," she said. It's almost like a bikini top, what she's wearing.
It's sort of like evening club wear, but it's not outlandish.
In another post, she shared video that she took of an employee searching for Southwest's dress code policy just minutes before departure time, saying the staffer, quote, "practically did cartwheels to ensure that I wouldn't get on this plane, y'all. I was held at the gate for 30 minutes because of my shirt. If it's there, why can't y'all find it?" She asked the employee about the policy. It's there, why don't y'all know it?
Y'all.
Then recorded the captain. I thought this was interesting. The captain came out of the bathroom at the gate, walked over to her after being summoned by the employee, and he says to her, "They're hating on you because you're looking good. Is that right?" So he's trying to smooth it over.
Right, yeah.
And he said, if they're like, "Hey, the rule says you have to cover up. Do you have something?" he asks, clearly uneasy about the conversation. "Do you have a shirt or do you want me to give you one of mine?" Eubanks replies that she wants to see the policy first, and as the captain walks off to try to resolve the matter, she says, "I have to leave my boobs at home? Obviously not," as she chuckles. The captain of the flight, she wrote, "loaned me his shirt so that I could board, having been removed from the flight and the flight being delayed. I eventually took it off, only to be told that I would have to speak with a supervisor upon landing," she wrote in a tweet.
And then the supervisor said she had some tiggle bitties.
She was wearing a boys' summer baseball T-shirt. A Southwest spokesperson said they had reached out to her directly to apologize for her experience and provided a refund for her fare as a gesture of goodwill. But the rep added an email regarding our policies. Each situation is very different, and our employees are responsible for following our contract of carriage available on our website. According to the material posted online, the company, quote, may in its sole discretion refuse to transport or may remove from an aircraft at any point a passenger engages in lewd, obscene, or patently offensive behavior, including wearing clothes that are lewd, obscene, or patently offensive. So it's their discretion.
Yeah, okay. It's in posted the language, there.
So
it, I could listen, it's on the edge, but it's, yes. Yeah. Again, it would be like something you would routinely see in a nightclub,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway.
I don't know. I'm not a pilot, though.
So they are giving her a free fare for that. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, a couple things real quick here. I wanted to reiterate this. Rodney Bird, our engineer, who is absolutely key in making sure that we have everything we need for Camp Out for Hunger, has sent us a request to pose to you. He wanted to ask on air if someone might be willing to give us what's called a modular office trailer. So a small trailer that we could use as an office for the Camp Out for Hunger. And it's to house our production and technical area. Because we're not going to be using the big tent this year. We're, you know, obviously you can't do indoor gatherings right now. So we're not going to do the camp out this way this year. It's going to be different. It's going to be on a stage, essentially, outside. It's kind of old school.
It is, in a way. And I think that's kind of the charm.
Which might be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Or really cold.
Or the worst decision we've ever made. But
it doesn't matter.
We're doing it.
Yep.
It's within, obviously, city limits, and so we're beholden to the rules of what they have us doing. We want it to go through, so we're going to follow it.
But to protect our equipment and so on, we need what's called a modular office trailer. If you have one, you know what it is. And we need you to get in touch, and you can email nick@wmmr.com. Nick will handle that, pass it over to Rodney, and we'll see what we can work out in that request. So thank you for those who can help out. Pagano's Market and Bar is here today, and it's part of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night Homegate kickoff. And you can go to WMMR.com/Bud Light, and you can enter to win a football Homegate prize pack delivered safely by a member of the Preston and Steve Show. And as part of this year's Thursday night Homegate kickoff with Bud Light Platinum Seltzer, you can win great prizes for your football Homegate, including a case of Bud Light Platinum, $100 Primo's gift card, custom MMR and Bud Light Platinum Seltzer pint glasses, and $25 gift card from a local restaurant like Pagano's Market and Bar, which, by the way, they are at 20th and Market in Center City. And I have a $25 gift certificate for caller number 18 right now, 215-263-WMMR. They brought by a bunch of stuff, bacon and egg cheese hoagies this morning for us to sample, barbecued pulled pork sandwiches with cheddar on brioche roll, chicken cutlet sandwiches, broccoli rabe, roasted pepper sharp provolone, all kinds of great
stuff. Oh, I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, so let's have you call right now, and we'll set you up with that. If you're call, I think I said caller 18, so I said, yeah.
All right, we always forget the number.
It's so By the time I read through this other stuff, I'm like, what number did I choose again? Because I just randomly pick it out.
Yeah.
So let's get you on board, 215-263-WMMR. And while you're in the dialing mood, you can also text the word secret to 39333 because we have a secret text word today. It's a chance to win a digital download of Zack Snyder's 300. All right, and we're going to take a break. Come back in a moment. Don't forget, Kevin Smith coming up at 9. Alan Alda on the show as well today, and more. We'll be here. Oh, and when we get back, Steve's Halloween movie.
Yes, thank you.
And it's not the ones. It's really cool entries. It's not, you know, The Exorcist. It's not the Gibbons.
The standard stuff. It's not the Gibbons kids.
No. But we'll be back in a moment with that. Stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket.
Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So here we are on October 14th, and it's full Halloween mode as far as decorations and all that stuff goes, and people getting into the spirit of things.
Yeah.
And
oh, hell, the Adam Sandler Halloween movie premiered. That's how you know it's time.
Yeah. So with that, with films being, you know, a go-to to get yourself in that mood, I think it's time we explore what you recommend, Steve Morrison, as viewing schedules for the family. Not schedules, but viewing lists for the family when it comes to scary movies.
So every year I get asked to put together a list, Preston, and you know what happens? A lot of the movies end up from year to year. I mean, Exorcist is going to be in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Evil Dead, the standard stuff.
Yeah.
And so I said, instead of replicating now the millions of lists that are available, you know, hell, I'm surprised Kathy doesn't have a horror movie list. You know, everyone has something up or, you know, online. You can find a billion of them. So I said, let me go a little bit more eclectic and also put a list together of the movies when I find myself recommending, when someone says, what's a good horror movie to check out?
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I kind of go to, they don't represent necessarily the best or they, you know, or the classics,
yeah.
But they're ones that I have a lot of fun with that you might not have paid attention to, or you've seen the title and not have viewed. So I put it together.
Good.
10 movies plus a bonus
book. I like that better than the, you know, like I said, Exorcist.
It's, right. It's going to be the same thing all the time. Mm-hmm. So I said, let me grab for those morsels out there that are on the periphery that you might not have checked out.
Do you fall victim at all to jump scares?
If jump scares are done well, that's fine.
Yeah.
When that's all you do, no. And each one of these movies there's a different complexion to horror. There are different types of horror movies. I like the slow build in some cases, and then in other cases, I like the over-the-top pandemonium. Now, and I'll go through the list, but you can take a tried-and-true formula and play it to death, and then here comes along a movie that reinvents it, sets it up, turns it slightly, adds a little bit of panache to it, and makes it a great movie. And I have a couple of those in here.
Cool. Is it a list of 10 or is it a top 10?
It is a list of 10.
Okay.
In no particular order.
So we got about 20 minutes or so to play with. So let's hear it.
So the first movie up is called Train to Busan. And I'll read what I have here. Since it's easy to get zombied out these days, that's why Train to Busan is so amazing. It's not just the train, but getting to the train, plus all sorts of cool things like a zombie deer that makes it one you must see. These are running hordes of zombies, and what this movie does right is it makes you care about the people who are trying to get away from them.
Okay.
So that's what it does. It is pandemonium, it is carnage, it's World War Z level, but it's done in a really smart way.
Oh, wow, we're watching the trailer. Yeah. As you speak about these, we're probably going to see these trailers. That is a horde of zombies, dude.
Yes.
All right, so subtitles, right?
Subtitles, but let me tell you something. You can just... get by, deal with the subtitles. It's worth it. Train to Busan.
Okay.
Sinister, number two. This is a movie that came out a little while ago. Ethan Hawke is a once best-selling true crime author who's battling a decade-long dry spell as well as a battle with the bottle. In an effort to re-energize his career, he moves his family into a home where the previous family was murdered under very bizarre circumstances with hopes of solving the crime. This movie uses Super 8 films, which are like snuff films, in a way that when I first watched it, I was like, God damn, that's chilling.
Okay.
And Ethan Hawke is just really good. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about jump scares? Case, this movie uses them, but uses them in a great way. Okay. And none of the homes are gothic-style homes. The home, it's like a ranch that they move into.
Okay.
Man.
You know how you say
not a stereotype scary situation. Okay.
You hate homes that, a home that looks like your home is what makes this terrifying.
Okay.
All right, so is this part of any sort of franchise?
It is. Okay. They did a second one, which was not as good. The original, Sinister, is really good. And the third film, a nod to Bill Weston, but I have to say it, Annabelle Comes Home.
Annabelle.
Yeah. The doll Annabelle first appeared in the backstory in the horror masterpiece The Conjuring, followed by two less than stellar standalone films. Surprisingly, His fourth movie, Annabelle Comes Home, does a lot right and very little wrong, making it a solid horror effort. So what they do is the doll, they take the family, the Warrens, they have their home. They go away for a little bit, and their daughter is watching the house. And, you know, they have this room of all these cursed antiquities and things. And Annabelle's one of the dolls in there, and they take the house. And what they do, I don't want to give too much away. I won't give a lot away. Let's just say that what they do is very inventive, and it's not just Annabelle. It's all of these haunted artifacts this room.
Now, I saw Patrick Wilson. Is he in the other movies?
Yes, okay. He's the husband in the Warrens.
So it's Vera Farmiga, him.
Oh, I like both those guys. Yeah.
They appear in the beginning as the Warrens, and they appear at the end. And for the rest of it, it's teenage girls and a little girl. But they introduce a whole bunch of very scary new Annabelle type characters.
All right, should I have seen the other movies? Okay,
not necessary. They explain what goes on, but it's really well done. And the critics agreed. They gave it. They were surprised at how good it was.
Annabelle.
Mm-hmm. Number four. Annabelle is very scary. Number four is a movie I refer to a lot, and people always ask me, "What's the title of that movie you've mentioned?" It Follows. It follows has such a simple plot that describing it can only fail to convey how brilliant it is. So here goes. An evil entity that can look like anyone from someone you know to a complete stranger is always walking towards you with one goal, to kill you. There's a way to save yourself, but doing so might make you more of a monster than the one you're avoiding. And that is what makes this movie so good. You say, what would I do? What would I do if this was happening to me? From the get-go. And the thing is that this creature, this entity, this being, it's just unrelenting. And it's just, but it's not hopping on, you know, it's not taking an Uber. It's walking at you wherever you are. And so it can look like someone on a beach, or you're in a crowd and you see someone who seems to be walking with a little bit more purpose towards you. That's what makes It Follows so good.
By the way, this list, Steve, do we have
it's up on PrestonSteve.com with links to all the trailers.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
I love that. Annabelle would approve.
All right, so It Follows is the last
right.
one on
That's
the list.
Fourth. Okay. Number five is a movie called Terrified. And work with the subtitles on this one. It's an incredibly inventive Argentinian haunted house, haunted neighborhood movie. In Buenos Aires, a woman tells her husband she has been hearing voices from the kitchen sink that seemed to be threatening to kill her. So, of course, her husband is ready to size her up for a straitjacket until that night when a thumping sound awakens him. And then you are off and running. I don't want to give away anything here because it's really cool with what happens and how it progresses with some of the most, I think, startling imagery. And this is happening in a regular-looking house, regular-looking neighborhood, and that's what's so disorienting.
So it doesn't take much to scare me and I get like chills all throughout my body. But if there's subtitles, maybe because my attention will be away from the screen a little bit, reading words, I might be able to do this.
You can work with it. Trust me. It's that compelling. And I so want to give you little teaser scenes, but I want you to watch it and just get every second of it.
I mean, for instance, I was watching Hubie Halloween on Friday night, and there is a scene in the basement of a house that I was like, okay, something's going to jump out and scare me right now, and I don't know if I'm prepared for this. You know,
You're Terrified is going to be a tough, but I would watch it. It's that good.
A boo.
And the sixth movie is one that is absolutely awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. There's a reason Stephen King and many other celebrated authors have celebrated Let the Right One In as one of the greatest vampire movies ever made, because it is. Let the Right One In takes vampire legend and lore and reveals pain and loneliness levels only hinted at in other movies. It's different. It has subtitles, which you're going to have to stick with. But the imagery and the story, when you've ever watched a vampire movie and said, I wonder, why can't they go into a place without being invited in? Or how do they conduct relationships? They ask questions and answer them and provide sort of sad context to the life of a vampire. In this case, a young girl who is obviously locked in forever as a young girl. And it's incredible. It's incredibly well done. It's a Swedish movie with subtitles.
When did it come out?
2005, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. How do you stumble across some of these movies, Steve? Do you, by accident, or are they suggested?
By accident, sometimes I will literally go to the horror movie sites and go to, and even just an iTunes and Shudder, which is a great streaming service, from A&E. And just look at what's being recommended and look what's coming out. And when I go through the trailers and the Apple TV, I always gravitate towards the horror and sci-fi stuff.
Okay.
The next one is a movie not a lot of people are familiar with. It's called The Void. And The Void is a certain type of horror film for a certain kind of fan. Think John Carpenter's The Thing meets H.P. Lovecraft with an extra helping of What the F. Long story short, a cult of cloaked figures trap a police officer and staff inside a hospital where bizarre things are starting to manifest. Great? No. Good? Absolutely. It's a low budget where they make a lot happen. And, you know, there's something about a whole bunch of cloaked figures standing motionless, keeping them inside the hospital, and you're just asking from moment to moment, what's going on? Oh. And I don't want to reveal too much because you have to experience it to appreciate why it's so good. It's from the guy, as it says in the opening credits or the trailer, from the guy who did The Witch, which is a great movie. All right, and I think you've seen this next movie, Preston. It's called Event Horizon. And this is a horror science fiction. Yeah. It's way more horror. The spaceship Event Horizon was sent to test a new method of achieving light speed 7 years ago, and then it suddenly vanished. Well, now it's back in dead in space, orbiting Neptune. What will the crew of the Lewis and Clark discover on their rescue mission to her? You'd be right if you guessed nothing good. So this has Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne and a couple of heavy hitters. The effects are great, but it is, it's one of those where they're trying to figure out what's going on. They recover some footage that shows you what was going on when the crew somehow was butchered on the ship. And you begin to realize about where the Event Horizon went and what it brought back with them.
You know what? I didn't see this, Steve. I it's something that's always been in the back of my mind to watch, and I do want to check that out because it's got that sci-fi vibe to it.
Again,
as well.
Is it a masterpiece? No, but is it solid and entertaining? And it has some really incredible imagery. So Event Horizon.
Okay.
Number 9 is a perfect Halloween movie. Trick or Treat is a Christmas story for Halloween movies. Trick or Treat understands the passion we similarly minded fanatics have for this time of year, and it runs with it. Sick, twisted, atmospheric, moody, and a legend in the making character named Sam, little guy that runs around throughout most of the movie.
Is that this little statue guy that you have right here?
Yeah. And what this is, think Tales from the Crypt.
Okay.
Think a collection of stories, and it's sort of paced like a Quentin Tarantino film. Timelines will all join up at one point, but they all run in different frames. Yes. Yeah,
so, okay. I might dig that.
Yeah. So it takes all those classic sort of Halloween tropes, those stories that you campfire stories, and ties them together in a really cool way. And nothing is quite what it seems.
Yeah. Right. While we're watching the trailer here, it keeps showing clips of a comic book. So
yes.
It's very much Creepshow like, Steve?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I love this movie, and it's definitely caught on.
I started watching this last week, actually based on your recommendation, Steve. And it was up on, I believe it was AMC.
Right.
So I DVR'd it, and I started watching it, and I will get back to it. But this, I think, is one that I started watching it with my son, and, you know, he's only 13, and it seems like it's going to be okay for him.
It's the most fun of the cluster of films, you know? So, and the number 10, and then I have a bonus, is one that I go to. People always ask, because I mention it, The Descent. This one has been around for about 15 years, and at this point, it's the film people most ask me to give them the title to when I've talked about it on the air. The Descent could work entirely as the story of an all-female group of spelunkers who get trapped in an insanely claustrophobic cave system. But it's much more than that, especially when one of the women, thinks they see something down at the end of one of the caverns.
Okay.
And it's off and running from there. And just the claustrophobic stuff.
I can't do that.
Just the crawling through and rocks shifting and coming down and making things more. That enough drives you crazy.
Yeah.
And then that's not it. There's a whole other storyline that kicks on in, which makes it great. And finally,
bonus
movie. All right. It's called Midsommar.
Oh, Yeah, I remember this. Seeing that when this first came out, a trailer. I didn't see the movie, but yeah.
So take the classic quaint town full of rustic folk is an all-that-it-seems scenario and give it a slow build to the point of cruel and unusual punishment, and that is Midsommar. Either you'll love it because of its weirdness or you will hate it, but it's the kind of movie that disturbs the F out of you because these pleasant people in this Swedish town, these young people go to check out the summer ritual, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of lore and a lot of legend, and it's one of those movies where you're every 10 minutes you're saying, leave now, yeah. leave now, and they don't, and it just keeps building and building and building.
Looking at the trailer, Steve, I get a little flavor of Wicker Man.
Very similar to Wicker Man.
Okay, which a lot of people didn't like, but the idea of a community of people that have this yes. ritual, maybe?
Exactly.
Yes. Kind of scary.
A ritual that, say, only happens once every 90 years.
Okay.
And wow. And that's what makes it so... Wicker Man never quite sunk for me.
Yeah.
Even both versions, the original and the remake. Yeah. This delivers on the promise of Wicker Man.
Okay, all right, I like it.
All right,
Steve's list is available at PrestonandSteve.com, and I love it because it's not your standard.
No,
you know, Halloween and Exorcist, and those have a place. They're classics, and they'll always be some of the greatest horror films ever made.
So rather than just stirring that up again, you know what they are.
Yeah,
give you something new to watch, maybe.
Your previous list, do we have that listed anywhere else? Because there are some other, like Session 9.
Session 9 is one. The Changeling, they always end up on. Yeah, I can put that list back up as well. But for now, this one is, I think, might get you going.
I wanted to ask you about kind of a subset of the horror genre, right. which is found footage.
I love found footage. I know you and I are big fans.
Yeah.
Because when it's done right,
yeah,
I love it.
Because I jotted down one, and I know it was a remake, but Quarantine.
Yes, so
scared the hell out of me.
There's an original movie called REC Record, yeah. mm-hmm. which is excellent. And Quarantine is excellent. There is a couple of other films that are in that Record trilogy that are really good as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a little bit more brutal, the original versions. But I think Quarantine is really well done. And those, you know, we love Cloverfield, too.
Oh, I love Cloverfield.
And there's actually a couple of channels that are nothing but found footage horror movies.
No kidding.
The thing is, they're so easy to make, but they're so easy to make poorly and really bad. So a lot of times you'll go through going, okay, where's the delivery? Where's the delivery? And it just doesn't come.
There was a couple of them that were that way that I'm in all the way and then somewhere it falls apart, which is Apollo 18 was pretty good.
Yeah.
And
Europa was one that is the one where that it's a found footage. They travel to Europa. It's a sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
They land, they find, is there something under the ice of Europa? And, well, you watch the movie and find out.
Ooh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. And then another one was, it was one where they go to Chernobyl. Was it called Chernobyl?
Chernobyl Diary.
Oh.
Chernobyl Diary.
Yeah.
Did you see that, Kath?
No, but I just saw a preview for it.
Okay.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I think it's really good.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a couple that are solid on that level.
Yeah.
But they're...
The Blair Witch is the one that kicked that all off. That kind of got that started, so...
And the Paranormal Activity movies...
Yeah, those are found footage.
They work for me. You know, they're not always great, but just give me something to work mm-hmm. with. A lot of times they'll hide not having a plot, and they figure, oh well, this just looks interesting,
right?
And a lot of times they're wrong.
You
got to have something to it.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah.
Have you guys started watching anything scary? Have you, Steve?
Oh yeah.
Have you been? October 1st, you start diving in?
Immediately, yeah. And there's one that I just watched that didn't add to the list, but I would highly recommend it too, called The Beach House.
Yeah?
So the people go to the, again, a couple goes to visit some family members at this beach house, and you ever...
Go ahead.
You go swimming, and there's stuff in the water.
Yeah.
And it looks like little, like parasites, and it just keeps building and building. And if you don't like things with your feet or sores on your feet or worms or tapeworms or things like that, this is not the movie for you, but it is really well done.
Yeah, it's hard to come up with something original and, you know, that really breaks the mold when it comes to the horror genre. So it's great when they do explore some other avenues. So,
you know, what it appeals to a lot of times is to first-time filmmakers or their first films because... you don't need a lot. You just need to be creative.
Yeah.
There's a terrifying movie I watched over the weekend called Hubie Halloween.
It's unbelievable.
And there were a couple of scenes in that movie
that scared you.
Scared me.
You were scared, like the basement, you said.
Yeah. There was a scene in a corn maze that made me jump.
Some of these movies, then, I can guarantee you, will kill you. You will have a full-blown seizure.
Here's the thing. When I was a kid, Friday the 13th, I couldn't even watch it for a second. Like, I had to watch it through my fingers and stuff. And
when did you finally watch it? How old were you?
Like, a couple of years ago. And I was like, oh, this isn't even scary.
Yeah.
Because for the time in 1980-something or other, I was like, this is actually really terrifying. But they've gotten so good at it over the past couple of decades that whatever they were doing back then, you know.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it used to be just the idea of a scary movie scared me. So the first quote-unquote scary movie, which it wasn't even really that scary of a movie that I went to see in the movie theater, was Scanners.
Scanners. David Cronenberg.
Dude's head explodes. Right. You know, so at the time, that was like, you know, horrifying to me.
Yeah.
But then I realized when I got out of the movie, like, oh, that wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad. And then I saw The Exorcist in my world. I couldn't sleep for weeks.
People,
it was terrifying.
My father refused. My father took us to see, like, near porn level movies when we were kids, and anything was up for grabs. He refused to take me to see The Exorcist. It was my mother that took me to a matinee of The Exorcist, and it was great.
I remember the story. My uncle, it might have been Curtis, he had gone to see The Exorcist, and before he came home, he said, turn all the lights on in the house. Put the lights on outside the house.
Right.
I'm going to be home in a little while.
Yeah.
It messed him up that bad. So, yeah, there are movies that can do damage to you,
and
man.
And some of these will, in this list, will live with you, where you're like, Christ, man.
Wow.
There was a movie.
And it's not just because of, it's not, gore doesn't.
It doesn't have to be.
I love it when it's used properly. Like, The Void is very bloody.
Yeah.
But it's got to be creative. Yeah. You throw buckets of blood at a screen, it does.
Yeah.
Okay, it's got to be inventive.
Terry O'Quinn, the stepfather.
Great.
Okay. Does it hold up still?
It does.
It does.
It does because of his performance. Is okay. So, again, the slow build, the slow, like Session 9, again, is a movie that is a slow build. Like, okay, you know, let it breathe. You got to live with these. Like, Midsommar moves at a gradual pace.
That's new, right?
It just came out? It's a couple years old.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's not that old. All right, so you can go to PrestonandSteve.com, and you can see Steve's full list. And entertain yourself.
And Annabelle approves.
Yes. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We can touch on horror films if you want to with Kevin Smith.
Yes.
He'll talk about anything when it comes to entertainment. So we're going to have him on about an hour after that, around 10 o'clock. Alan Alda on the show, too. So we'll break and be back in just a second. Make sure you stay with us.
Freshen up your look with a fall merch update at MMR's Rock Shop. Head to WMMR.com and grab the latest hoodie or winter hat. For all you Halloween heads, hit up aisle one for a flurry of ghostly face masks. They'll get you right in the spirit and work nicely if you're one of those, this is my costume kind of people. Plus, gift cards, t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs for a unique gift for that person who has everything. The Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Everything that rocks your wardrobe and more.
Don't forget our friends at Pagano's Market and Bar here this morning. And as part of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday Night Homegate Kickoff, you can go to WMMR.com/Bud Light. You can enter, win all kinds of cool football Homegate prize packs delivered safely by a member of the President and Steve Show. And they are open at Pagano's, and they have contactless pickup and delivery options available for your breakfast and lunch cravings. And Pagano's is one of the great local restaurant partners of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday Night Homegate Kickoff Series. So if you would like to win a $25 gift card, I will take caller number 25.
Hey.
And we'll set you up with that. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Put you on the list. All right. Our guest is ready to go. He's always great to talk to and about anything.
Yeah. You actually, these are, this is an interview. Anytime we have him on where you actually get excited. Not that we don't in other cases, but this guy, he speaks our language.
Well, and like last Friday when we had Michael Giacchino, the composer, on for the entire show.
Yeah.
We could easily do it with Kevin as well, because he just like Michael, just likes to talk about all things pop culture and movies, entertainment, whatever it may be. Please welcome the one and only Mr. Kevin Smith to the show today. Kevin, good morning,
sir. Good morning, Philadelphia. How are you, boys?
We're good, man. Yourself?
I'm so good. Wait, did Giacchino call in for the whole show, or is he in studio?
Well, we had a hookup at his house. So it was essentially like a live studio feed from his house, and he had two of his musician friends there, and they played music all morning long, and he's got a solo album that is out, and so he wanted to promote that. So he was on for the whole show with us. He got up at 3 and came on the air.
Holy crap. I felt pretty proud of myself going like, I'm up at 6 o'clock. These guys better appreciate this. Wow.
No, we
was getting up at 3 a.m. to make his mark. Is he a Philly kid?
Yeah.
South Jersey.
Yeah. And so he's get out of here. Yeah, he's been a friend to the show and was listening to MMR when he lived in the area, but he did something Friday that was so cool, Kevin. On demand, he would play the overture, the music from the Batman that he's currently working on, cuz he knows what a fan I am. And
are you kidding me?
I swear to God,
from the Batman?
He was playing music from the Batman for us, and it was fantastic.
Isn't it amazing how through the job you sometimes get to meet people that you're like, oh my God, I've always loved their work, and then they deliver in a big bad way.
Where
it's not just like, oh, I like what they've done. That's a solid to give you guys a taste of the Batman score.
Well,
that'll travel online.
Well, you squarely fall into that category as well. Someone we've loved and admired for years, and you turn out to be just a great guy and always a great interview. So don't
no
give
way,
your,
no
show
way.
Yourself short.
This is the Michael Giacchino appreciation hour. Yeah.
Well, Kevin, I wanted to jump
Kevin
in here.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to jump in because we were actually supposed to. Last month, we were supposed to fly out west and do our shows from Michael Giacchino's house, his backyard. And I had called to let you know that we were going to do that. And you were like, oh, you're going to do a show at my house as well. I don't know if you remember saying that or not.
Yes, absolutely.
So we hopefully
someday, if
there's a vaccine, who knows what's going to happen. What was supposed to happen last month will happen in the future.
Please do. I got a lot of space here and whatnot, and I would love to be able to just roll out of bed onto the show.
There's the dream.
Today, kids, today's a big day. 1 year ago today, it's our anniversary, Jay and I put our hands and feet prints in the cement at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
I remember seeing the pictures, man.
That's, you told us a great story about that was so touching. It's ended up in the best of segments that we play on the show. That, I mean, I don't care how jaded you get with Hollywood or whatever. That is the S, as they say.
It was honestly, like I wrote on Twitter today, because somebody posted about it and didn't know today was the anniversary. And I put up that it was the single best day of my career. Like, you know, I've loved everything I've done, but that was the moment where I was like, wow, my Sally Field moment. They like me. They really like me.
Yeah, it's a feeling of immortalization of sorts, you know?
That, you know, honestly, it was that. It was the feeling, not so much that I was immortal, but like it all mattered.
Yeah.
I did it. And nobody could take that away at this point. Like, you know, it was real. It wasn't a dream. And it wasn't just like me and my friends and a few people that liked us. It was enough that they were like, no, you belong here with the Avengers and with Clark Gable and Harrison Ford. That felt like I'd finally arrived. After 25 years in the business, I was like, I think I'm here.
Well, you know, with the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, with the film and the message and the gathering of familiar faces throughout your career, that to me, and we told you about this last time and the experience of seeing it, that is such a wonderful love letter to have in existence. I watched it again, and there's, you think of artists who whether the career was cut short or never got a chance to do something like that is sort of as comprehensive as that is in its way, and it has to be a joy to you that you got that made and that it was received as well as it was.
It was honestly like post-heart attack, that was the only thing that mattered to me, because I was like, I don't know if the heart attack comes back. Like, you know, I've ameliorated my health and by going vegan and dropping weight, but you never know. I had genetically, I've got a bad ticker.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like, all right, I'm guaranteed another 20 years. So after the heart attack, I was like desperate to make Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, because I was like, there's my gravestone. Like, that's what they could put right at the head of my tombstone, man. Like, it will sum up my entire existence. And so once the movie was done, I'll be honest with you, like, I thought that, you know, my heart would just be like, all right, now it's time and take me out. Like, I thought I was given that Anthony Hopkins extra few hours from that movie with Brad Pitt, Meet Joe Black.
Right.
Like, I thought I was just extended to get something done, and then I was going to be taken away, probably by a death that didn't look nearly as attractive as Brad Pitt. But instead, I just kept, like, living. And, you know, which is nice, don't get me wrong, by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I'm a writer, so I look for perfect symmetry, and like that would have been a great time to die right after that.
You know, like the red shoes. Yeah.
Yes, he survived his heart attack. He put on a hell of a performance. We put him in the cement, and then he dropped dead. But instead, I've been lucky enough to be alive, and I'm working on He-Man all year, which is fantastic, gentlemen. I've seen 3 episodes now, completely animated in color. And I'm happy to say, and this ain't just hype, this is one of the best things I've ever worked on in my life. I've now showed it to 5 people who had no connection to the cartoon, just to be like, please tell me honestly what you feel about this.
Wow.
Not knowing He-Man, not knowing Masters of the Universe. I did not show it to MOTU people. I just showed it to people who like all sorts of entertainment. And it played for them in a great way. Like, I was so encouraged, because for a while I've been thinking like, you're just close to it because you're the story editor, you're in charge, and like at the end of the day, of course you like the story because it came from you. But I have a team of writers I've worked with, and then I'm working with the crew of Powerhouse Animation for the animation. They're out of Austin, Texas, and everyone brings a piece of the pie to it. Like, when you do a Kevin Smith thing, it's Kevin Smith's lone voice, and if you like Kevin Smith, you might like it, but if you've never liked Kevin Smith, you're not going to like any part of it.
Right.
This is like Kevin Smith maybe working on it, but it ain't a Kevin Smith thing. It plays like its own authentic story, and it doesn't, as much as it like plays like the Masters of the Universe everyone remembers from their childhood.
Sure.
It also plays like the very next episode of that show, as if the characters suddenly grew up a little bit.
So
it plays like a Marvel movie. I'm so delighted by it.
It's wild that you mentioned this. I just watched, I'm sure you've seen the documentary, the Masters of the Universe documentary about, you know, all things lore and legend surrounding the animated series and the movie. I love this. And I think part of this, Kevin, has to be a byproduct of the fact that a lot of the people who, again, like we've talked to Adam Goldberg about this, and apparently he's working on a Goonies film or something.
He's been writing a Goonies movie for a long time.
So the all the stuff that you loved, now these people such as yourself are in positions of power to get these things done, and they don't get them done in a flippant way. There's a lot of real love behind these projects.
Well, I just looked at, like, you know, we've all been loving the Marvel Cinematic Universe for the last decade, and those are my stories. Those are the joy in my life, my lodestar. I love what they're doing in those movies. And yes, I'm an adult and I should be concentrating on grown up things, but I don't care. I know Alan Moore thinks they're immature and stuff like that, but like, I absolutely love those movies. We use those movies as a model, and the model there is very simple. It's not in terms of the plotting or the character or the storytelling. It's just in terms of how you treat the material.
Yeah.
And for the last decade, we have watched people spend billions of dollars to treat IP from our childhood reverently. Like, through most of my life, they would be like, oh, we'll take this concept and we'll change the costume and change the backstory and we're going to write our own thing to it. And now it's called Catwoman.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, you take a really good thing and you just change it for the sake of changing it. These cats aren't changing anything. They're treating it reverently. And that's why when you watch those movies, you're like, wow, you can't figure out what the special sauce is. You're like, they're so great. What makes them great is they care more than anything else when they tell these stories. They care that they get the tone right. They care that you they present you with these characters the way you've historically always been presented with them. And then they just add one new facet, one new dimension. Like in this world of Marvel Cinematic Universe, they're fleshing out what are normally like two-dimensional characters. Same thing here. We just got to like flesh out our characters. Our marching orders from Teddy over at Netflix, who's our boss, who's the biggest Masters Universe fan on the planet, was treat this like Shakespeare. He's like, I grew up watching this, and I thought He-Man was going to die in every episode. So give me those stakes that I thought, you know, and if you remember those episodes, there was a lot of tumble salts.
Yes.
Nobody was ever crossing swords. There was never a real threat. But his point is like, with this, like, give it stakes. Like, make it epic. He's so, I know this is some of the goofiest IP ever created, intellectual property. He's going, but it's so rich at the same time. And he's like, just Game of Thrones it. And so with those marching orders, we were able to do something that was like, turned into something special. Like, it kills me that I've got to wait until next year for people to see what I'm seeing. But it is delightful. And when all is said and done with my career, it now stands as one of the things, like, I'm most proud of.
Isn't that wild?
It is nuts. If you had told me at the beginning, like, you're gonna love this as much as you loved Clerks, and you're going to put it shoulder to shoulder with, like, the greatest stuff you've ever done, if not better than that. I would have been like, with He-Man?
Yeah. But that's the beauty. I just, over the weekend, watched for the second time the movie Bumblebee, which, after a whole bunch of Transformers movies... I'm like, oh my God, because tonally, Kevin, it got everything right. And it just nailed it.
Yes, absolutely right. And there's reverence there. And it's not like, you know, we're doing the same thing exactly from your childhood. No, of course they had dimension, tell a new story, but you can tell that the storytellers are not treating the source material with disdain. They're not going, well, I know better and I can change this. Like, when you treat the material reverently, you're doing your audience a service, because think of all the people who grew up watching this thing.
Right.
Like, you know, recently, a few years ago, I wanted to do a Mallrats sequel, and it was called Mallrats 2, Die Hard in a Mall. And it was basically, like, literally Die Hard with Brody playing the role of John McClane. And I wanted to make that because I told Jim Jacks, the producer of Mallrats, years ago when we were on set. He was like, you know, they're going to want to make a sequel. This movie's going to make $100 million. He was off by $98 million. But he's like, they're going to want to make a sequel. You're going to have a story ready. And I said, I got one. He goes, what is it? I said, Mallrats 2, Die Hard in a Mall. Because in 1995, everyone was making a Die Hard movie. Die Hard on a train, Die Hard in a building and stuff. So I was like, we do it, and it's in a mall, and Brody becomes John McClane. And then Jim Jack is like, oh, I love it. So years later, Jim Jack dies, and I was like, I'm going to finally write that Mallrats movie and make it in Jim's honor. And I wrote that version of the movie. And then now, as we head toward next year, making Mallrats 2 in 2021, which we now call Twilight of the Mallrats, I was like, you know, I had hacked up Mallrats 2 for Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. The entire third act of Jay and Silent Bob Reboot was originally the entire third act of Mallrats 2, including Iron Bob. That was all written for that Mallrats 2.
Oh, that's great.
So I hacked it up, and then when, you know, suddenly at the end of Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, Universal had done the foreign component of the movie, and they were like, hey, we want to keep working with you. What do you want to do next? And I was like, well, I got something over there that I made that I would love to play with, man. And, that, you know, I was like, I would like to go to Mallrats. I wanted to do a Mallrats sequel before. So they were like, all right, let's do it. So I was faced with the choice of, like, do I try to repair the Mallrats 2 script, or to write a brand new script? And this is when I had this come to Jesus conversation with myself, which was, if you loved Mallrats, and somebody was like, guess what? Believe it or not, they made a sequel to that movie 25 years later. And you're curious enough to make the trip because you're like, I loved Mallrats.
Right.
And then you walk into the movie theater, and it was literally just Die Hard with Brody. And it had no connection, really, to the other movie other than, like, the same characters. But you're like, was there a Die Hard joke in Mallrats that I'm forgetting? It would have been a completely different experience that would have left people baffled. So instead, Twilight of the Mallrats plays exactly like the Mallrats sequel that anyone would expect. It starts off with two people getting broken up with and then spending their day at the mall, just like we did back in the day. And everything's changes. Everything's different now. But I realized I had that moment where I'm like, it's a disservice to the audience to give them something that, like, I was once like, oh, this is the sequel to Mars. When I really thought about it, I was like, no, you have to treat this reverently. You can't just, like, walk in and be like, hey, this is what I think Mallrats 2 is, and have it not resemble the thing that people have loved for 25 years. So I learned that on Mallrats, and then I took it into MOTU as well. You know, but I, again, key was the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Watching them do it time and time again and realizing the secret sauce for me in their movies is how seriously and reverently they treat the source material. They don't disdain it, don't talk down to it. They cherish it. They celebrate it.
So, and then that's what makes it work. And also you take something, and the point you made is so lucid and correct, which is, why are you taking something that a fan base loves? I saw an interview one time with Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits, and he talked about playing solos for songs that people are very familiar with in concert. And he came to the realization that he could, do a quarter of a million different solos on a song, and they would all be great. But the people have come, and they're there to hear the solo they associate with that song. And so he realized that he had to separate what he needs to deliver to the audience as an artist and appreciate the fact that they love that and do it that way, and then when it sort of freed his mind a little bit when he did that. And I think a lot of times, you remember at the beginning when the X-Men movie started coming out, and they altered the costumes and so on and so forth. They make a passing reference to it in the first X-Men movie, Wolverine's costume and, the statue.
Yeah, he says, like, yellow spandex. He's got the yellow spandex line.
Yeah. Right. So, but there's still, people, that's important to people. Mm-hmm. And so your point is very well taken.
And Kevin, something to illustrate that, and I know this is something you love because I watched, I think it was from Comic-Con last year, but where they took the source material and added some more heart to it was Cobra Kai.
Oh, my God. I love this show. And look, the whole world loves this show now, but like...
You were on it.
I was watching, from like the beginning of season two. I wasn't there for season one. I'd heard about it. And then, of course, I saw billboards and I'm like, YouTube's doing original shows. And then I never caught up to it because you had to pay for YouTube. And then I'd heard from someone, I forget, somebody was like, you should watch Cobra Kai. I watched one of the first three episodes they put up and I was like, wow, this is pretty dope. So I joined YouTube just so I could watch it. And I wound up binging those first two seasons in the span of like 4 days.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I got to, I do the IMDb interviewing during the San Diego Comic-Con every year, not this year because we were all hiding from COVID, but for the last 5 years prior to that, and I get to interview people. So while I was there, I got to interview the whole cast of Cobra Kai and give them a love letter right there on camera because it is wonderful. They're doing the Lord's work with that show. I forgot how much of a Karate Kid fan I was.
Me too.
I started watching Cobra Kai, and I was like, oh, my God, this continuity is in my DNA, like the DC stuff and the Marvel stuff. Like, I know all this. And every time there was an Easter egg or they showed Allie texting or something, I was like, oh, my God, the universe is crashing in on itself. Like, this is going to happen next.
Yeah.
So they asked the people behind the show. I got to meet those cats when I was interviewing the cast at San Diego Comic-Con. Those cats are so in love with the source material. You want to talk about treating it reverently. Holy, holy crap. And now they're being overly rewarded. And I don't mean overly like they should get less, but they're finally getting all the props they deserve because Netflix picked it up and the rest of the world has been like, holy crap, this show is amazing.
Yeah.
So now we're all waiting to find out what happened to Miguel. I thought it was just going to be me, and it's been hard carrying that cross since I saw the final episode. But now I've got the rest of the world to commiserate with. We're all like, he better be okay.
Yeah. I was so surprised at how much heart they were able to. I thought it was just going to be a parody, a goof on, the characters and what they're up to now.
Right.
And show after show, I found out, wow, this has got me wanting more. And this is taking it in directions that I didn't anticipate it in. And it was so easy to want more. And like you said, they treated the source material reverently. They keep going back to the source material. And it's just been perfectly done. And I didn't think I'd like it, and I loved it.
Doesn't it choke you up, don't you, or flat out make your eyes well up whenever he reminisces about Mr. Miyagi?
Absolutely.
Like, what a beautiful, uncomplicated relationship. You know, you don't flash back and go like, oh, but he taught me these things, or he touched me, or did this one thing. It's just a warm flashback to a man who took an interest in a kid and saved his existence and gave him the tools that he would need to be a grown-up for the rest of his life. That's at the root of that story.
Yeah.
So as you see, like, you know, what happened to the kid as a kid, he now passes on as an adult. Just as he was saved by Mr. Miyagi, he gets a chance, both of them, both Johnny and Daniel, get a chance to mentor just as they were mentored and do it better. It's a story about, like, getting it right as a parent. You know, it's really beautifully done, man. And one of those things where, like, when you watch it, at least for me as a creative, it literally makes me want to hang my hat up because I'm like, oh, they got way better people doing this than me now, so I should step away. I feel the same way about Lovecraft Country. Whenever I watch Lovecraft Country, I'm like, I call myself a storyteller.
I've heard people, yeah, people rave about that, and I want to get on board with that. You're giving it the thumbs up?
Absolutely. Oh, my God. It is spellbindingly good. I mean, never mind the effects. Never mind the fact that they could do almost a different genre while doing horror every week. If they're doing some of the most original and satisfying storytelling I've ever seen on television in my life. They told a story in this week's episode, the one that just passed, that has such a beautifully written, poetic ending that I was, as a writer, gobsmacked and like, you know, tipped my hat. Like, I could learn from this program. Such fantastic storytelling, rooted in genre, and right, taking Lovecraftian concepts, throwing monsters into the mix, throwing dimensional travel into the mix, throwing, like, body dysmorphication into the mix, all, while telling very human stories about monsters. Incredible. That's definitely worth a watch. Okay. Raised by Wolves on HBO Max.
Again, that's the Ridley Scott series, correct?
So damn good. It is honestly some of the best sci-fi. Between that and Lovecraft Country, some of the best sci-fi they've ever made in our lives.
Wow.
Raised by Wolves is a story of, like, the end of humanity and two androids who are sent off to a planet to raise what are, like, six or seven human embryos to try to restart the human race. And it is so sci-fi. It's not pew-pew lasers in space sci-fi. It's like Omni magazine sci-fi from the 70s.
I love that, yeah.
It's, if you're into sci-fi, it's a trippy series. Beautifully directed, beautifully written, beautifully shot and acted. It's definitely worth your time. What else have I been watching? I just finished on Hulu Monsterland, which was an anthology series. Really, really great. Well done. Kind of like a Twilight Zone or a Black Mirror, but each one has a monster kind of theme to it. But, of course, the theme is, are they the monsters or are we
right?
The
monsters?
So you like
Monsterland?
Were you
Monsterland.
A Black Mirror fan? You of the series?
Oh, unbelievable. Absolutely. Well, I was of course a Twilight Zone fan going way back to childhood. So when Black Mirror happened, I remember being like, oh my God, this is like modern day Twilight Zone, but through the mirror of technology and even darker. And Charlie Brooker, man, one of our greatest storytellers, because those are parables, man. Like, just like, you know, when you used to read the Bible as a kid and they tell you a story, Jesus tells a story, but really it means this.
Yeah.
Black Mirror, those are absolute parables, modern day parables that if you don't pay close enough attention to them, we will slip further and further away from our humanity. So not only is it entertaining and scary to watch and thrilling, it can also help your life. You know what I'm saying? If you let it, good entertainment can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was so you're mentioning these monster things, and there's this movie coming out that I just became aware of yesterday called Love and Monsters, I believe. Have you seen anything about this?
No, what is it?
All right, so apparently there's like an apocalyptic attack on Earth by monsters, and this boy and a girl are at some point separated, and now they're living in this underground apocalyptic sort of world, and he eventually finds her via transistor radio or whatever, and then he's like, I got nothing else to live for, I'm gonna go find her. And so she's 80 miles away, and so it's his journey to go find her. So the kid that is the main
protagonist
in the movie, you know him from like The Maze Runner and a couple of other movies. So he was available for an interview. I'm like, what the freak is this movie about? And I watched a trailer. Rooker's in it, right? And I'm like, okay, like I'm on board now. This movie looks silly and fun and adventurous and all that. So I wasn't sure if maybe it was on your radar at all.
And the kid from Maze Runner is Dylan O'Brien?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I saw like something for this, not a trailer, but I think I saw a thing because I interviewed the kid years ago. He's a really nice kid and stuff. So when I saw him pop up and stuff, I was like, oh, I remember Dylan. So it's called what? Monster what?
Love and Monsters.
Love and Monsters. I'm in. I'm going to check that out. I hadn't heard it yet. You know what I've been watching a lot of? It's Halloween. So Halloween time, spooky movie time and whatnot. Hulu has this full curated collection of Blumhouse movies that didn't go theatrical that are incredibly satisfying, like to the point where I'm like, I want to make one of these, man. It seems incredibly low risk. They're very low budget, simple concept horror movies, like most of the Blumhouse stuff is. So there was this one movie called The Lie, which doesn't play like a normal Blumhouse kind of killer movie or something like that. It's about a girl who, like, in anger pushes her friend. And she, you know, falls into a ravine and dies. And then her parents have to try to cover for her and try to keep her from being detected. Wow. And so it's like they slowly, and they're both divorced, but it brings them oddly closer and stuff like that. It was incredibly well done character study. It's got, what's his name in it? Peter Sarsgaard, the guy who's married to Maggie Gyllenhaal. So he's always a really dependable, wonderful actor and stuff. It's got Joey King, the girl from Kissing Booth. She plays the daughter.
Yeah, she's great.
She's wonderful. It wasn't the typical, like, Blumhouse, The Purge, or Happy Birthday, or whatever. It was not a cut above, but telling a different kind of horror story.
I like that.
So he's got a few of those. I think it's called, like, Blumhouse Collection or something. But there are a bunch right now on Hulu that I'd never seen. So me and the wife have been kicking through them. And some of them are really, really good, man. Like, so they're worth a look right now if you're looking for something to watch, particularly Halloween time.
Sorry. So I want to circle back to what you were talking about with Black Mirror and the TV shows maybe making your life a little bit better. And one that we've talked about, I finally finished over the weekend, was Social Dilemma. And I want to know what you might think about that.
I thought it was wonderful. There weren't many aspects of the interview footage with the people who actually worked in big tech who were like, I don't let my kids go online. I had seen those, maybe not the same people, but interviews of that nature before. So it really solidified some like online videos I had watched that were kind of worrying. The thing that like I didn't think was necessary in The Social Dilemma, and this is an unnecessary criticism because it's totally worth watching, but I didn't need the recreation stuff. I love that actor.
Yeah.
Who was in Booksmart. But, like, you know, I'm smart. I know it seems to be like a Netflix generation documentary thing where there's, like, recreation and they think they have to entertain you to keep you in your seat. But I would have preferred just more talking heads of people saying scary things rather than, like, look at what could happen. You know, I'd rather hear what is happening.
I'm wondering if that might have been put in there because I was thinking about showing my teenagers that. To kind of hold their attention a tad bit, you know, and explain
it. It's what it feels like in terms of the Netflix documentary where they're like, look, our algorithm tells us that people aren't going to sit through talking heads. Right. They also want to be entertained.
Yeah. So
we're going to stick a little movie in because the computer told us.
You can't get away from the algorithm.
You cannot at all. But it's definitely worth watching. I'm certainly not telling people, oh, stay away from it. But for me, I just would have preferred more people talking about the scary present rather than a little movie about what could happen to your kid. It's definitely worth watching.
I wanted to ask you, Kevin, about you're doing a movies pop-up in Chicago. Am I reading this correctly?
Yeah, we announced, yesterday? I think we announced
movies the fictional.
Where it is.
Yeah, the fictional.
Fast food joint.
Yeah, everyone knows the fast food joint, but you're actually setting up a pop-up one in Chicago.
Yeah, we did it first out here in Los Angeles at the beginning of the pandemic, and it went insanely well.
Yeah.
Like, Derek, our partner, he's done a series of pop-up restaurants. He did one many years ago called Saved by the Max. They did the Max Cafe from Saved by the Bell. It started in Chicago. That's where Derek was from. Then he moved it out to Los Angeles, and he's been out here ever since, and he does pop-up restaurants. He was supposed to be doing one for Clueless to celebrate Clueless's 25th anniversary, but Paramount pulled out because the pandemic was happening. So he called me and he was just like, hey, you got a fake restaurant. Would you want to fill in the gap? Because otherwise I got to fire a bunch of people at my restaurant. And I was like, yeah, let's do a fake movie. So we did it. We gave money to charity and stuff. It worked out incredibly well. We were only going to do it for a month, but then we wound up doing it for 2 months. And at the end of that, the restaurant in New Jersey, in Red Bank, where I'm from, Gianni's Pizzeria, called up and we're like, can we do it? So then we moved movies out to New Jersey and did it there for a week. And it was incredibly successful. So now we're going to Chicago. We start October 30th at St. Louis Assembly. We take it over and cosplay it as a movies for a week. So me and Jay will be out there, and then we'll also do Jay and Tom and Bob Get Old on November 1st at the McHenry Outdoor Theater. But we'll be there for the pop-up. And this is actually what 2021 is going to look like for us, because, you know, you got to remember, as much as, you know, we make movies and stuff like that, the real bread and butter, how I pay for everything, is I live on the road, live performance.
Yeah.
And that has kind of shifted dramatically. Now, you could do some drive-in shows and stuff, which is wonderful, but that you're not talking about commensurate numbers with where we used to be with a live show. Like during the Jay and Silent Bob Reboot Roadshow Tour, we were servicing 1,000 to 1,500 people a night inside a packed room.
Yeah.
We won't see that again until like 2 years after the vaccine shows up. So suddenly you're like, how do we make our living? What do we do? How does one pivot? And movies has become this wonderful pivot, man, where suddenly it gives us a reason to go to a place and put on a show and have it be connected and stuff. And so it's one more way for us to engage with the public. And we've done it now twice safely. Nobody's gotten COVID at either location. Everyone wears masks, keeps socially distant. And it's a reservation system. So it's not like 500 people are in the parking lot. You have to show up at your appointed time, so we're able to space people out.
That's awesome.
So it's been really incredible. It's been fun, like especially, I guess, during the quarantine. Like, it went over well for people who were like, I've been stuck in the house like for months. This is the funnest thing I've done. So we're going to keep doing it in 2021. And I know for a fact, I can't say what month, but we've got a Philly date.
Movies
come to Philly.
Yes.
Ooh, I want an egg a movie month.
You're going to have it. You're going to have an egg a movie month. You're going to have a cow tipper, tater tot. You're going to have everything.
A cow tipper sounds good about now.
But to quote the great yogurt, where the real money is made is merchandising.
Oh, you are so not kidding, man. And also, like, for us in you know, we've got a comic book store in Red Bank, New Jersey, Jay and Silent Bob, Secret Stash. So when we opened the movies in Red Bank, you know, even for just for a week, but it was at Gianni's and it's down the street from the Stash. There was a question of like, do we bother selling merchandise? Because the Stash is down the street. They could just walk to the Stash if they want to. And the last minute we were like, nah, let's just have merchandise there because it's a fun experience. If you could walk in and see stuff and buy stuff as well. And I'll tell you right now, selling the merchandise at the location, even though we have our own store that was a mere 5 minutes away, sells almost the exact same stuff. We made incredible amounts of money on merchandise, more than we ever have previously.
I love that.
So it suddenly we realized, oh, my God, this is like when we were kids and our parents would take us to Ringling Brothers and we're like, can I get the light? Can I get the pennant? Can I get the book?
Yep.
When people go to an event, they just want to walk away with the souvenirs. So we're like, we're happy to provide them. So we're making movie masks, movie hats, movie shirts, and stuff like that. It's been fun, man. It's really a fun way to earn in a world where suddenly our ability to earn was whisked out from under us.
Okay, when can we expect to hear about the Philadelphia announcement, the date?
I would say I would say it's happening in the first quarter of 2021.
All right,
so probably after the new year, you're going to hear something. But get ready, folks. It's going to be fun.
Hey, Kev, I got a question about, listen, you've been a creator in Hollywood for a long time now. I have a question about whether or not positions exist for people who just have ideas that maybe don't have the wherewithal to see anything through.
Casey's an idea guy.
I'm an idea guy.
Yeah.
I'm an idea guy.
By the way, Zack Snyder and a whole bunch of other people have gotten this pitch, so he was going to get you eventually.
It's not necessarily a pitch. I just want to know. I think I have a really decent idea for at least two seasons of a Netflix or Amazon Prime show. I have a couple of ideas that I think are good movie plots. Does that job exist anywhere?
Absolutely. It's called producer.
Yeah.
There are a lot of producers who are like, look, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to tell the story, but I know what the story should be. An idea person absolutely exists in this business. Now, if depending on how successful one is at their job, like let's say you're a successful producer like a Joel Silver, then you're going to get to tell your story over and over again, your ideas. You don't have to tell the whole story. You just have to come up with the idea. A white cop and a black cop trying to work together or something like that. And then somebody goes, ooh, I can run with that idea. That's how a Lethal Weapon comes to be or something. So that position does exist. There are like people who are just like, I got an idea, but that's it. And they're definitely called producers. But to be fair, that's also what a writer and a director does as well. Like, I have an idea. They just follow the idea, you know, doggedly until its natural conclusion to make sure the story is told. But a producer does that in a different capacity. They find money, they find stars, they put the people together that are going to make the movie happen and stuff. So it's this very, like, you know, if you watch Wag the Dog, Dustin Hoffman's character as the producer is always going like, you can't explain it, what a producer does, but like a producer is necessary. And that position does exist. You can be an idea person in this business. That's the job.
I have to ask you, while we have you, the Flash movie coming out, and they're working on it, and the idea of a Flashpoint plot line that brings together Michael Keaton, possibly Christian Bale, and Ben Affleck, all those Batmen showing up in the same film. Do you think this is going to happen? And what's your take on all this?
Oh, God, yes, it's happening. And right now it looks like there's an arms race, a cola wars, if you will, between Marvel movies and DC movies, both of them making multiverse movies at the same time. So it looks like Spider-Man 3 is shaping up to be a multiverse movie with talk of multiple Spider-Men, you know, a Spider-Verse, including Jamie Foxx, his Electro coming in from that universe into the current Spider-Man and Marvel Cinematic Universe arc. They're talking, there's been teased rumors of Tobey Maguire and what's his name? The other one,
Andrew Garfield.
What is it? Andrew Garfield showing up in the movie. And over on the DC side, of course, we've heard, like you said, Ben Affleck coming back as Batman, possibly Christian Bale, like bringing in Michael Keaton for the Flash movie. So it sounds like both camps are making like big multiverse movies. We know for a fact that Doctor Strange is called the Multiverse of Madness. And we've seen from the trailer of WandaVision that the story there is that, you know, Wanda is somehow trying to keep Vision alive and creating a new reality, which could in turn be creating a multiverse. Like, that's because the very next movie after WandaVision is Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And
God,
Wanda plays a big feature in that movie. So they're teeing up for a multiverse so that the next movie after Multiverse of Madness is Spider-Man 3. By that point, we will fully be in an integrated Marvel multiverse, meaning like just as we saw them pull J. Jonah Jameson from the Sam Raimi movies to suddenly be in the current incarnation of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Which is
You're
brilliant.
You're going to start seeing a lot more of that, I think.
So
by the time we get to Spider-Man 3, it's just a bunch of doorways to other movies, which is going to be fantastic.
I love and hate multiverses because I find that they can be fantastic and they can be awesome as far as incorporating all these possible scenarios that you just described. And then sometimes, in a way, I think it robs some plot lines of
relevancy.
A finality and relevancy, yes. Like, well, it's okay because we'll just go to Earth 156.
You're absolutely right. One of the reasons I fell in love with the DC Universe post-crisis was the simple timeline. Like, everything happened, and here's how it happened. Prior to that, you know, the multiverse storyline where it's like, you know, on Earth 6, Batman's married to Catwoman, and they got a kid, and that's the Huntress.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. It's fun to be able to diversify and tell a bunch of stories. But then your continuity, you know, is like, well, there's 19 Batmans. Which one do I care about?
Right.
So if you explode and make a multiverse, it means that there's a story coming where everything has to implode and collapse like a crisis. So I'll take that. Like, they can do as many multiverse things as they want for a few years, because then sooner or later the big story is going to be like, it's all collapsing into one. And, you know, I've lived through that in comics once, so I'm looking forward to living through that in the movies again.
No, I agree. That's awesome.
All right. It's a lot to take in, but we love it. We love this little peek into our world of what we love and entertains us. But, Kevin, we got to wrap. But nonetheless, I'm excited to hear that Philly's going to get a movie pop-up. So
we want the exclusive on that.
Yep, we will hear more about that.
Believe me, when it's time to announce, I'll be on with you guys saying where it's going to be and when it's going to be for absolutely sure.
All right. Well, listen, brother, it's good to talk to you. Hang in there, you know, with all the craziness in the world, and we'll chat again soon, okay?
It's true. Kids, be a light. You are a light. You know it right now. A bunch of people stuck in their houses, terrified of the future, man. They need familiarity. They love listening to their Preston and Steve. So you guys are doing the Lord's work right now. Well,
very kind.
Thank you, Kevin. We love you. Kevin Smith, guys. Take care, bud. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Oh, my God. Talk
so for hours.
God damn. Hours.
He's just the best.
He's the man. All right.
I don't know why he suddenly became an old Southern man.
We got to take a break. We are going to come back in a moment. We're going to get Alan Alda in just a few. I know.
I mean, yin and yang.
It's all over the place.
But I love him, too.
And he's talking about nerdy science
Flash
stuff.
Movie.
Which we love. He's not talking about Flash movie. Science stuff, which we love as well. We'll come back. The Bizarre File is coming up, too. So stay there. We'll be back in just a moment.
We all got kind of hosed on that whole basketball bracket thing back in March. So we're bringing back the bracket with MMR's Rocktober Madness. Beginning today, listen as your favorite bands battle it out and you decide who wins. Starting with 64 bands split into four regions. Pierre Pancake, Preston Steve, Jackson Sarah, and Jackie Brent. Matchups every weekday at 11:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. with Pierre and 3:30 and 5:30 with Jackson. And that's where you come in. Pull up the app or WMMR.com and vote for your favorite bands to move on or go home. It all comes down to one band, crowned champion of Rocktober Madness. Sponsored by Horizon Services.
Heating, cooling, plumbing, and indoor air quality.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
So we have a secret text word. Chance for you to win a digital download of Zack Snyder's 300. And just text word secret to 39333. And we'll bounce a word back to you. See if you get that word and call us in a little while. And we'll grab a random text or two. We're scheduled to have Alan Alda on any moment now. You know what I'm going to do? Let's start the Bizarre File and see how long before he calls in. Okay. Yeah, we might be able to.
Bold move.
All right, let's do it.
For Annabelle.
That's right.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, brought to you this morning by Horizon Services. Take the stress out of fall heating problems by taking $50 off any heating repair, plus get a free 1-inch filter. 2-year guarantee included. Horizon Services. .com. Well, it started as a snake bite that could have been a mistake for a freckle, but it turned into a helicopter ride to a Flagstaff hospital and then a flight to a Phoenix ICU, all because of the anti-venom. She believes it's from her allergy to horses, though. It was Allison Redmond's first time in the Grand Canyon, six days backpacking, her dad and eight brothers. They stopped at Thunder River. She felt something on her toe. It said it felt like something going in and out. First, we thought it might have been a stinger from a bee or a wasp. A night of sleep and swelling happened. Redmond was flown out of the Grand Canyon. Paramedics convinced that it was a snake bite. Well, it was. So her problems got worse when she said she was given a higher dose of anti-venom. She said, I looked at the nurse and said, something is wrong. And because they were wearing a mask, you could see her eyes got huge.
I think you made a mistake.
Well, here's the deal. All antivenoms, and I didn't know this, are made from antibodies from animals, and there are several different types. Redmond took an antivenom that was created from a horse, which is what she is allergic to. And the doctor on call said this is so rare because all hospital-use antivenoms usually don't have a trace of the animal that it came from. Redmond was rushed to Phoenix after she went into anaphylactic shock. And it could have been deadly. She recovered in 3 days after she said she received a different anti-venom. This one came from a sheep. And
it's going through the whole barn.
Yeah, the doctor said, I can be around horses and not go into shock. It could be a happy coincidence. So, yeah, it was the fact that it was taken from a horse and she was allergic to it. But, of course, they had you know, a snake. It was a rattlesnake.
So the lesson, don't go outside.
Don't go outside. Yeah. Don't get bitten by a snake. Don't use horse-used anti-venom, and you'll be okay.
You'll be fine.
All right, that's the only story we have time to get to, because sure enough, right on time, our guest is ready to go. I think we spoke to him years ago.
He's great.
He's wonderful. He's an outstanding actor in so many great things throughout the years that I don't even have to bring them up. But he's also a science buff, and he's really deep into this, and I love that.
Absolutely. I was looking at some of the topics for his one of his podcasts, and it's right in our wheelhouse.
The dude is juggling three podcasts, Clear and Vivid with Alan Alda, Science Clear and Vivid, and Soldiers of Science. Please welcome Mr. Alan Alda to the show this morning. Morning, Alan.
Good morning. That's a really nice introduction. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So, science been a part of your interests most of your life?
Yeah, it has been. From the time I was a little boy, I was an amateur inventor.
Ah.
I actually invented something when I was 10 that a year later came out on the market by coincidence. It was a Lazy Susan for inside the refrigerator, so you didn't have to reach to the back. You
just get out of here.
Spin the wheel.
Huh.
Yeah, and they made it, but they only produced them for about a year because I think there were bottles of ketchup flying around.
Sometimes you don't think of the practical aspects and what might happen.
Yeah, no.
You know what?
It was just an idea.
Alan, I've always been fascinated. I mean, they're all different angles of science, but the engineering side of things, I've always found just unbelievable that people are able to come up with the ideas and then go through the process of eventually being able to make these things, to physically make these incredible pieces, all the way from simple pieces of machinery to unbelievably complex things. Do you cover some of that in these podcasts that you cover?
Yeah, occasionally. And very interestingly, the second one you mentioned, Science Clear and Vivid, is the precursor of the kind of technology you're talking about. That's what we talk about. What we don't usually think about is that the technological advances we can make, the things like cell phones or GPS that we all carry around in our pocket,
right?
That wouldn't be possible without the understanding about how gravity works that Einstein came up with 100 years ago. Hmm. And he had no idea that would lead to carrying, that would be, there would be such a thing as GPS. But without his basic research into the way nature works, we wouldn't have it. So Science Clear and Vivid is a 10-part series that deals a lot with what's called basic research and the need for it, because from that comes the technological advances, the engineering things that you were talking about, that have given us the riches that we have as a country.
Yeah, I've heard one scientist describe it as, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants. And we're, both Preston and I are massive fans of the space program and NASA and the early days. And you look at all of the inventions and all the tectonic shift in technology that occurred just from that sort of truncated rush, you know, to put a man on the moon, and all the things we still use just from that explosion of learning and invention. It's amazing.
It really is. And we have to not neglect the science that's driven by that, just by curiosity.
Yeah.
How do things work? Because there's no immediate payoff in view. But the more you know, the more you can take what you know and do something with it. So, that's what that show is about. And that's fascinating to me. Yeah.
So I think it's three shows is a lot. But Clear and Vivid, I was looking at some of the topics, and there are things like you address artificial intelligence and things like why mosquitoes choose certain people. So it's that and the medical realm. You talk to Dr. Fauci. You talk to other people, celebrities. You've talked to Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas, who we had on the show as well. So all things are up for grabs, apparently, correct?
Yeah, and with a slant toward understanding a little better how people communicate with one another better,
yeah,
how we relate to each other. So, for instance, every aspect of life, like husbands and wives, or the guy who was the FBI hostage negotiator for a long time. And he got hostages released using techniques of communication that he says can be very helpful in a marriage.
With the FBI? I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. I bet you it could be. I mean, many would consider that a similar scenario. So marriage and a hostage situation.
Yeah, but yeah, we cover all the bases.
Yeah.
But he had an interesting... Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I was still processing that. But go ahead with what you're going to say.
Well, I was going to say he had a very interesting technique. When he was talking to somebody who had taken somebody hostage, he would let them know that he understood what their complaint was. You feel this, don't you? You feel right. that. But he would phrase it in such a way so that the person wouldn't be inclined to say, you're right. He wanted them to say, that's right.
Huh.
That's subtle. Isn't that interesting? Because if he says, you're right, he's putting himself under the hostage negotiator.
Okay.
If he says that's right, he's on top of things. So
those little tricks, that's actually part of marriage counseling. You know, I'd gone with my wife, and there are little subtleties that, you know, in like with asking a question, you know, I've learned about just the way I ask my wife questions that, and how she reads them mean everything. So little adjustments can make a world of difference.
Right. Like, for instance, it's not a good way to ask a question to say, you're wrong, aren't you?
Yeah, that's a bad setup.
That's so good.
Alan, with Clear and Vivid with Alan Alda, I know that you've had some big-name celebrity guests on the program, and some of the names I see highlighted are Tom Hanks and Yo-Yo Ma and Paul McCartney, of course. And what are the discussions that you get into with them? Are they science in nature, or is it about communication?
It goes every which way, okay. But sometimes it's an example of communication. Paul McCartney was a great example of that. He started it out. We didn't even say hello on the show. We were just talking and kidding around. Yeah. And it starts with this sound. He was showing me. He was showing me one of his vocal warm-ups. So we had right. And so the first thing you hear is that. And then after that, we were so comfortable with each other. He trusted the conversation so much
right.
that when I asked him after about 10 minutes in, I said, "Your melodies are so amazing. They're played all over the world. They're so memorable. How do you find the melody?" He said, "Well, I noodle at the piano." Mm-hmm. And he felt so comfortable, he said, "Here, there's a piano over here. I'll show you what I mean."
Wow.
And he started writing a song on the piano during the podcast. I don't think he's ever done that in an interview before.
Wow.
And to me, that was an example of trust that can come about if the two people really make a connection, if they make contact with each other.
Are you saying we can expect a Sergeant Alda's band album coming out?
Yeah. Yeah, they're working on my costume now.
I love it. Well, Alan, I love that you're so passionate about these three projects and that people can access them at any time. There are three different podcasts, Clear and Vivid with Alan Alda, Science Clear and Vivid, and Soldiers of Science. So it's wonderful to be able to do something that you love so much, and we're very happy for you.
It is, and thank you for talking with me about Absolutely. It. I really appreciate it.
We're huge fans. Thank you so much, Alan. Alan Alda, guys.
What a nice
Excellent.
Guy.
Super nice guy.
He's such a nice guy. What a nice. From Blazing Saddles.
All right. So we only have one bizarre file story. I'm sorry. You want to do one more?
Well, I paused it, so I didn't stop it. So the music is, if I hit this button, it's still there.
Right. And there it is. We can go back to one.
All right.
How about that?
Because it's like it never happened.
Some other good things. And then we're going to have to take a break. There you go. We're back. So a Loyola University graduate took part of her bar exam while in labor, gave birth, and then finished her test.
Wow, man.
Brianna Hill knew that she'd be pregnant while taking her final test toward becoming a lawyer, but when the coronavirus pandemic changed the timing, she suddenly realized how pregnant she would be. She said it was supposed to be in July. That date was moved to October. She knew she'd be taking the test remotely in her home, but that there would be technology used to watch test takers and to keep them from cheating. So on Monday, a very pregnant Hill sat down at her desk to take the first part of the exam. She says, I was ready to go, confident. But minutes into her test, she went into labor. She said, I didn't think about it because I was in the test. During a break, she made a few important calls and then went back to finish the rest of her exam. She said, I cleaned myself up, called my husband, and the test kept going. She completed the first portion of the exam and several hours later gave birth to a healthy son, Cassius Philip.
Wow.
But there was still another day of testing to go, so she determined to finish what she started. She is still in the hospital, spent the following day taking the final leg of the exam. She said, I woke up, they set up a spare room for me, they put a do not enter sign on there. She breastfed during the breaks and eventually completed her exam.
So did everybody in the class see her vagina?
I don't know about that. No, they weren't. They didn't see the delivery.
Oh, okay.
Hill said she experienced preterm labor while studying for her test, which helped prepare her for what she would ultimately go through. She doesn't know if she passed yet. She is set to find out in early December. So she soldiered through it all.
That's Hill, I have some news for you. You failed.
That's
what?
Unbelievable. And then one other story, and then we'll wrap it up. The owner of Bumpy's Polar Freeze in Schenectady, New York, has been arrested for allegedly following an altercation for, I'm sorry, arrested for assault following an altercation with a private investigator. Police said that David Elmendorf was arrested after the victim, Ronald Hilton, received a puncture wound to the back of his head area from a pen. Hilton says he was serving legal documents to Elmendorf when Elmendorf assaulted him, stabbing him once in the back of the neck with a ballpoint pen. So he didn't want to get served these papers.
Yeah, so he stabbed him.
And he took the pen and stabbed him.
Wow.
Elmendorf was previously arrested after allegedly threatening to shoot protesters that had gathered around his ice cream shop. Officers say a pellet gun was found in his vehicle when he was detained shortly after the incident. The protesters had initially targeted Bumpy's after allegations emerged that he wasn't paying his employees and had been using the N-word in a number of text messages. So he stabbed the dude.
Sounds like a prince.
Yeah, stabbed the dude with a ballpoint pen. He killed the man with a pencil.
Baba Yaga.
And then one last story. I'll do one more.
All right.
Because it involves a rattlesnake like the other story did. But a man who was wanted in Idaho called police because he was bitten by a rattlesnake. Ryan Paul Henry had gotten lost in Hell's Canyon, tried to find his way out when he came upon a rattlesnake. Baker County Sheriff's Office dispatch received a call from an adult male stating that he was lost in the Hell's Canyon area, was on foot, and had been bitten by a rattlesnake. Henry
got bit by a rattlesnake.
Henry gave officials a fake name. He was later identified as Henry, who had a felony arrest warrant out for him in Idaho. Search and rescue team was preparing to respond. The decision to cancel the search and rescue mission was made.
Let him die.
Based on the discovery of the warrant and the suspect's history with law enforcement.
He got bitted. So bitted.
The sheriff, six deputies, and U.S. Forest Services officials responded to the area, and two boats were launched in the Snake River to search for Henry. Shortly after 10 p.m., the officials found Henry, and after being assessed by paramedics, he was arrested without incident and taken to the county jail. And there you go.
There you go.
That's what I have in the
Bizarre File. Alan, yep. Alden, more Bizarre File.
There you go. All right, we need a caller for the secret text word. Kathy, I need a number caller, please.
12.
All right, caller number 12, 215-263-WMMR. If you know the secret text word, you should call us now. We'll find out if you do when we return, and we have a prize for the person and also a random text that we'll grab a prize for. Back in a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Foo Fighters still alive in Rocktober Madness. You know what? I'll get through the details in a little bit when we get into music news about that. But it is coming up today at 11:30, starting at 11:30. 1:30 and then 3:30 and 5:30 today. But there are some... There's some head-scratchers, man. There's some weird stuff going on there. But
you know, I'm kind of liking it.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not the... It's not predictable.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. So we're going to find out what happens today, but I'll get you the details in the matchups. But Foo Fighters still in the game at this point. All right, we were looking for a secret text word caller, number 12, and that is Carrie that we're going to go to. Hey, Carrie, good morning.
Good morning, it Presbo.
Hey, good morning it to you too, Carrie. All right, so what's our secret text word?
It is muscles.
Muscles! That's correct. And, Carrie, we're going to set you up with a digital download of Zack Snyder's 300, which has loads of muscles in it. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Yep, hang on just a second. Spartans, prepare for glory. Relive the greatest underdog story based on Frank Miller's graphic novel. You can own it now in 4K Ultra HD.
It's a stunning-looking movie.
It is.
Yeah.
And we have a random texter that won as well, and that is Ben Woods of Elkins Park, PA. So he gets the exact same thing. I haven't watched that in quite some time.
I remember when it first came out, it was like, you know, because it was the graphic novel, I believe, is from Frank Miller.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a it's really cool, and what they did was amazing.
Yeah, it's over the top.
Yeah.
But it's over the top awesomeness, right. And cinematically it looks really, really cool. So, all right, we're going to ask today's lesson question. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Bates to go to the Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions. And the question I have for you this morning, which two items can end up on shared microphones? I'm going to do this. I'm going to say, actually, it's spit and what?
Okay.
215-263-WMMR. That's from back in the stupid question earlier in the 6 o'clock hour. So what two items can end up on shared microphones? Spit and what? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. We'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it is brought to you by HERS. Behind every excellent game day is a bag of tasty HERS snacks. Enter HERS Upgrade at... Enter HERS Upgrade your home gate at WMMR.com to take your game day to the next level. Got to break out the HERS.
Enter HERS, comma, up or dash,
it
update
says,
your...
Enter HERS, upgrade your home gate.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll go with that.
WMMR.com. All right. Yeah. Figure it out. Steve, what's going on this morning?
Well, Kristen Stewart admitting she's very nervous about mastering Princess Diana's accent for the new movie Spencer. Stewart says while she's just begun doing research, she's favoring a British accent. So that should be interesting. Rosie O'Donnell appeared on Red Table Talk, where she spoke about coming out as gay immediately after 9/11. O'Donnell candidly admits that while it did draw attention from her announcement, she now regrets coordinating the attacks with Bin Laden.
Oh, God.
And finally, before the split, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie purchased Chateau Miraval in France, and now they've launched a new champagne called Fleur de Miraval. And just as with the famous couple that helped create it, Fleur de Miraval reportedly captures all the emotions associated with abuse and abandonment.
Wow.
That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I think that this sponsorship is supposed to say, enter HERS and upgrade your home game at WMMR.com. Hmm. That would make sense,
that,
right?
That do.
Okay. All right. So I just want to make sure that we got that right.
We don't F with HERS because I live on the cheese balls.
Yes.
I'm a ball man.
And make sure it's written properly. All right. Go F yourself, San Diego. Let's see if we can get an answer to because I will read it as is. Let's see if we can get an answer as what two items can end up on a microphone, on shared microphones? Spit and what? 215-263-WMMR. I'll go to John. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. All right, so what two items can end up a shared microphone? Spit and?
That would be spit, gerb.
Say the last word again.
Gerb.
Gerb is correct. You got it, John. Hang on a second. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions, voted the number one haunt in the country. Your last chance to get half-price tickets is on the deals page at WMMR.com. Time for music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
This just in, gerb is actually a word. Nick looked it up. A gerb is a type of firework which produces a jet of sparks, usually lasting between 15 and 60 seconds.
It's not so my gerb.
So it's like a fountain.
I love those gerbs.
It is a thick-walled tube filled with pyrotechnic composition and possessing a choke, which is a narrowing in the tube. Huh. Gerbs are often referred to as fountains.
There you go.
That's what it says here.
For me, it's more like snot and food.
That's a gerb. Yeah. I never once heard that term before. All right, interesting. Gerb. All right, music news is brought to you by Salus University. Salus University offers some of the fastest growing and highest paid health professions in the country, including optometry and audiology. Salus University, the future of health science since 1919. To apply, you can visit salus.edu. I guess I should have my music news ready. All right, here we go. Five Finger Death Punch has officially confirmed that Andy James has replaced guitarist Jason Hook.
Andy!
Guitarist Zoltan Bathory had said at a press statement, Andy completed our European tour with us back in February, so he was already tried by fire. We instantly clicked, both musically and personally, so he was the obvious choice.
It is a pleasure to announce the addition of Andy.
Hook had emergency gallbladder surgery at the end of 2019 and left the band a few months later to address further complications. He said in a statement, I've been in bands my entire life and I feel like I've done all the good that I can here. It's time to pass the baton and move on to new challenges.
So, it's beautiful.
It's happening under, good circumstances in that there's no strife or anything like that. Corey Taylor's first solo album, CMFT, debuted at number one on Billboard's current hard rock albums chart this week, while claiming the number two spot on the current rock albums chart.
Huh?
What?
Is this another Hers commercial?
It must be. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, that's the same chart.
There's no words on it.
There's no words on it. I can't read it. Globally, CMFT.
I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Globally, CMFT has debuted with top 10 entries on the official album charts in Australia.
We'll do it live.
And Germany, as well as top 20 debuts in the United Kingdom and Japan.
We'll do it live.
CMFT is available on all streaming platforms. With limited.
That is pure anger.
It's just like.
Well, do it live! F*** it! Why do you think he was freaking out that? Do you think he had somewhere to be?
Maybe.
I think he was just being a dick. And I also think that everyone probably on that stage knew what play us out meant.
Yeah.
And so he, for as many years as he's been in the business at that point, had never heard anybody say play us out.
Yeah.
And so he was embarrassed. And yeah. I think that was part of it.
But it's like anger from inside out manifests itself in Bill O'Reilly in this.
Well, do it live. F*** it. I can't read it. There's no words on it. I can't read it. There's no words on it. Thing sucks.
Just builds and builds.
Jackie Bam Bam plays that all the time.
Does he?
And I laugh every time he does it. Absolutely. All right. This is pretty funny. Tommy Lee got a big shock from his wife, Brittany Ferlin, on Monday when she decided to help her husband promote his new album, Andro, in her own special way. She had his black 2018 Rolls-Royce Wraith wrapped with the image of his album cover. They posted the big reveal on TikTok, where Lee can be seen covering his eyes as Ferlin leads him out of the front door of their Calabasas home. His reaction, however, was less than enthusiastic. The expletive-filled video shows Lee asking, "What the F did you do to my car?"
Oh, my God.
It's a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, and it's pink.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So she changed it pink with the album on it. She said, he said, the black was so expensive. What did you effing do? You want me to drive this around?
Oh, my God.
She responded, I put your album cover on it. Look at how good it is. And it says, Tommy Lee Andro. It's got the colors. It's so dope. Now you can drive it around and do your own promoting. You don't even have to hire a publicist.
Oh, dear God.
Look at how many people that are going to see. Tommy Lee Andro. Yay, he loves it, she said. So I don't know if it was a setup and they did this.
You can't do that to a Rolls Royce without letting the person know.
Yeah. So Lee's Andrew album will be released on Friday, by the way.
You remember from before the one of the car shows, we were with Karen Rogers from 6ABC, and we were in a Rolls Royce.
I think it was a Wraith.
It was a Wraith, yeah. So
had the suicide doors on.
Oh, my God, it's so cool. And in the doors are compartments for you to slide your umbrellas in.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Yeah. Metallica's Second Album in My Hands, Helping Hands concert and auction will take place live on November 14th. The special acoustic show will stream live from Metallica HQ. It will benefit the All Within My Hands Foundation. Details of the Helping Hands auction items and experiences, as well as how to bid on them, will be made available closer to the event. AC/DC's music is no stranger to the NFL, which only underscores why the band would promote its upcoming album on the NFL Network's Good Morning Football show. Angus Young Skyped from Sydney, Australia, and frontman Brian Johnson was live from London. Johnson shed light on the recent power-up recording sessions and what it felt like to be back recording with the band after a 5-year break since the last album. He said, "There's nothing like unfinished business to finish. And, you know, we went in the studio and the old magic was there and just that old bond of, you know, guys that have been going together for 40 years. Angus and Johnson were asked their personal thoughts on American football. Angus said, "All I know is that there's a lot of big guys. You know, they're Herman Munster size," he said.
Okay.
They're about 9 feet tall. You know, they're all pretty big fellas. And he said, "It's a bit Star Wars in a little way with the big helmets and all that equipment going on."
Like,
and he
goes, "Running and pushing." And
what?
I don't know why they're interviewing him on a football show. He has no idea about football. He just writes rock music. It's just silly.
They're promoting it on the network.
I know.
He said they really do look. They really do look like gladiators when they're going at it. And Brian Johnson said, "It's an exciting game. You know, these guys are just all pumped up when they're playing. It's an amazing game." So that's what they had to say about it. But yeah, they don't know. They're not from here. They don't know. It's American football. They can go to hell.
Go straight to hell.
And then one last story. Sting's 1981 Police Standard, "Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic," scored a 2020 BMI award for recognition for 9 million plays on U.S. radio. Sting has been racking up the prizes with 2019, seeing him win an award for 15 million radio performances for the band's "Every Breath You Take." Sting.com reported that the award saw Van Morrison being recognized for 13 million for "Brown Eyed Girl," Mick Jagger and Keith Richards for 10 million plays "Can't Get No Satisfaction," David Coverdale and Bernie Marsden for 6 million performances of "Whitesnake's Here I Go Again," Gary Kemp of Spandau Ballet for 5 million spins of "True," and Peter Gabriel for 4 million plays of "Sledgehammer."
What song has the most spins? Is it in that list?
It isn't, but I'd be curious to find out. That's BMI's...
I'm sure it's another Spandau Ballet song.
Award for recognition for U.S. radio, so I'm not really sure about that, Steve. Sting revealed that he'd be releasing a career-spanning collection of duets and collaborations later this year. And that's what I have in music news. I have one last $25 gift card to give away from Pagano's Market and Bar. And it will take call number 15 at 215-263-WMMR. And we'll set you up with that. And don't forget that they are here as part of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night home gate kickoff. You can visit WMMR.com/Bud Light to enter to win football home gate prize packs delivered safely by a member of the President and Steve Show. Everything you're going to need delivered to you for your at-home football weekend in style, like case of Bud Light Platinum, a set of custom WMMR Bud Light Platinum Seltzer pint glasses, and a gift card to a local restaurant like Pagano's Market and Bar. They're at 2001, which is 20th and Market Street, Philadelphia. So check them out also at PaganosMarketAndBar.com. We have one more break to take, so let's do it. Come back in a second. Three-letter word for the Word of the Week prize. I'll tell you what it is when we get back. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. You heard correctly. The event is a little earlier than usual. This difficult year has made it even harder for area families staring food insecurity right in its face, which makes the Camp Out Business Challenge more important than ever. Props to Subaru of America for leading the way, challenging other area companies to get involved. It's effective team building for your staff as they rally together to help fill abundance in their mission to drive hunger from our communities today and end hunger for good. For those who go the extra mile, there are prizes for the top three business challenge donations, including Preston and Steve broadcasting live from your place and for your staff. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger from 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
One of the things I forgot to point out was not with that song, but the song before, which I think is when we played Everlong from Foo Fighters, finished the birthday tribute that Casey did for Connor, whose nickname is Moose. It's his birthday today.
I didn't even realize that.
Casey spelled out the word Moose with the titles of the songs, the first letter in each title of in the title of each song. And he could give you the rundown. I don't remember what the songs were. I just know it ended with Everlong.
Oh,
it was Memphis, Midnight Train to Memphis.
Midnight Train to Memphis, then One Step Closer by Linkin Park. Open Your Eyes by Rival Sons. Sex on Fire by Kings of Leone. And then Everlong, because Foo Fighters are his favorite band.
Oh, and a nice way to end it, too.
Yeah.
Well done, sir. Well done.
So I got to the bottom of this, Preston.
You just walked in the studio. Oh, the Hers sponsorship?
Behind every excellent game day is a bag of tasty Hers snacks, period. Enter Hers, and this is the title of it. So enter Hers, upgrade your home gate at WMMR.com.
Okay.
To take your game to the next level, you got to break out the Hers. So you want to enter, and so it's Hers, upgrade your home gate.
Should say enter the phrase.
Yeah.
Hers at, okay.
Yeah.
We're working with these.
It's all good, man.
Yeah, we're trying to get it figured out. You're out of
no
breath.
No sad, bro.
Not really.
You had to run into the sales department to get that worked out.
I just wanted, because they were like, no, there's no mistakes there. And I was like, are you sure there's no mistakes
there? In the interpretation, it's listen. You
know. So I was like, all right, and you're really smart.
Not everyone agrees on the meaning of Moby Dick.
So she said, get yourself a new map, and I did.
Shouldn't there be an apostrophe after Hers, like H-E-R-R-S apostrophe?
No, because you have to enter. Hers is part of this phrase that you have to enter, and I would imagine if you're entering as a code online, they're not going to add the punctuation as part.
But I know
what
you're saying, because Hers is more plural,
right? It's the name of the contest. Mm-hmm. It's under the Hers umbrella.
If only I had 40 empty tubs of cheese bowls.
You're entering, you enter Hers, upgrade your home gate. Not enter Hers, upgrade your home gate. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
It's got to be.
They'll figure it out. There's free stuff involved. Yeah. Okay. So I want to thank our guests. We had Kevin Smith. Talked about everything from scary movies to Cobra Kai to Masters of the Universe to Mubi's pop-up restaurant coming to Philadelphia after the first of the year.
Yeah.
So a bunch of stuff. It was always it's always great to catch up with them, and that was definitely the case this morning. And then we had the great Alan Alda.
Yeah.
Alan Alda promoting his three podcasts, Clear and Vivid with Alan Alda, Science Clear and Vivid, and Soldiers of Science.
He's a nice guy.
Nice guy.
You know, this episode, one of my favorite MASH episodes was on the other night that I wanted to add. I liked the funnier MASH as opposed to the very serious MASH. There were some good serious episodes, but remember the episode where they created a captain named Tuttle? To get some supplies for a local orphanage. So they created this guy who was supposedly in the camp.
Okay.
And just as, somebody would come in or, Frank would come in, he just walked out the tent, 30 seconds ago. Really? And they just did this whole thing for the entire episode.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then he died. And so, they came by and it was just this elaborate thing that was just great.
And I guess he had exemplary, Frank wanted to meet him really
exactly,
bad, right?
Exactly, yeah. And Loretta Swit and Hot Lips was sure she'd had an affair with him. And so they were all, seduced into this thing, this guy that didn't exist.
I loved that show. Yeah. Yep. So it was nice to have him on this morning. And thank you also to Pagano's Market and Bar at 20th and Market. 2001 Market Street, Philadelphia, for stopping by and giving us some food this morning and also some great prizes to give away, which we did. And they're part of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday Night Home Gate Kickoff. So you can go to WMHour.com/Bud Light to enter and win some football home gate prize packs delivered by a member of the President, Steve Show.
That's right.
Pierre's here. Hey, man, how you doing?
Good. That guy really sounded like Alan Alda, too.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
It was a bad phone connection, but he was good.
Yeah, I mean, but that voice is so distinctive.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, did you miss us yesterday?
I missed you so bad.
We missed you.
I cried the whole show.
Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a sad show. It was a torrent of tears.
Bill said he spent half your shift hugging you.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Torrential tears. Yes.
Are they coming back?
Please let them come back, please.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll never do it again.
Please don't ever leave again.
Let's do the letter of the day, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now the daily letter.
All right. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
T, as in torrent.
Of tears. We have a $400 Resorts Casino Hotel gift card to give away. Resorts Casino Hotel is using the most advanced air purifying technology to ensure that your game experience is fun, exciting, and worry-free. Room rates starting at $69. You can book your stay by visiting resortsac.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So we give that away on Friday, which I'll remind you is day after tomorrow.
That's a good week.
It is a good week. What's up on the show today, Mang?
Well, competitions, Preston. You've got some grease in the game today.
Yeah.
As they say. Yeah. For example, we've got Aerosmith against DMB, Dave Matthews Band. Nick is rooting for Aerosmith at 11:30.
I was pretty surprised Dave Matthews Band beat The Who.
I was too, yeah.
But there have just been a whole ton of surprises. Pearl Jam lost yesterday, the day before, to Yes. But I don't care. And I don't. Yeah. It's not that I don't love it. I do. But it doesn't matter to me if one of my favorite bands loses or not. It's A, it's not up to us, and B, it makes it fun, you know? Yeah. And so many surprises coming down the road are enjoyable.
No, it is fun. It was Sublime against Bon Jovi, and Sublime won because this one guy called and said, I got free pot if people will vote for Sublime.
You're campaigning like that.
We're way behind, and I swear to God.
All of a sudden.
And it was total bogus. I mean, the guy didn't have free pot, even though he said he lived on Stony Brook Lane, 420 Stony Brook Lane or some such thing. And then Sublime took over and actually won. You just never know.
How was that matchup with Led Zeppelin and Van Halen?
It was close.
Was it close?
Zeppelin won at the very end, and I was surprised by that. I really thought Van Halen would take it.
Just out of the passing of Eddie.
Yeah.
And then did Bowie lose to the Foo Fighters by 4 votes? Did I read that correctly yesterday?
I don't know.
I know it was really tight.
Me. Yeah. Yeah. So, and Foo Fighters have won before. We should assemble a list of previous winners. So as you said earlier, it's a head scratcher.
Yeah.
You know, but that is kind of the fun of it, too.
The big, big upset was, even though I'm more of a fan of Stevie Ray Vaughan than Tool personally, I didn't see that coming. Right. I thought for sure Tool would handily take out Stevie Ray. So.
Exactly.
And Yes over Pearl Jam.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that
I love Yes. I'm a big fan of that stuff. But I also... I dig Pearl Jam.
Does Yes go up against Genesis, or did that already happen?
It's coming up.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Aerosmith and Dave Matthews.
Okay, right. So, in your category at 1:30, the President Steve category, it's STP versus AC/DC, the initials against the initials. Then Jackson at 3:30 has got Prince against Tom Petty, which is really interesting. And then another game, you've got Gas in Preston, which will be the 5:30 game, the Jackie and Brent category, Shinedown versus Rush. So you've got a Brent band and a Preston band up against each other.
Now that one I'm full on pulling for Rush. I definitely want them to win. So
I'm curious about the Prince pairing, Preston, against Tom Petty, because Tom Petty seems the obvious.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can't say there's an obvious anymore, you know?
We pulled this up. It did, as Nick had said earlier, Foo Fighters did win by just 4 votes over David Bowie, so it's close.
Your vote matters.
Your vote matters. Get out and vote, not only in this, but in the real election, which is less than a month away.
Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff.
Anything else? Are you good?
Yeah. We've got Workforce Blocks of Rise Against, Moody Blues for Justin Hayward's birthday, and a request for a block of Ghost today.
Wow.
Excellent. All right, let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and by LASIK Experts. Book your free LASIK consultation today at LASIKExperts.com. Tomorrow on the program, comedian Steve Byrne. Love having him on. He'll be joining us. And we'll have stuff to give away, things to do, stuff to talk about. That's it.
Yo. Oh, I thought you were saying...
I was laughing at that.
That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we shall see you tomorrow.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
I think what we have to look out for now, since the weather's getting cooler, is winter bush.
Next message.
I love you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Effing awesome show today, guys. The musical scores, the Hollywood backstories, the geekery. It was all freaking phenomenal. Tip of the hat. You guys are amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks.
Next message.
Next time you go on the hike, you should call me Rambo. Because you know what I do? I did the cougar. I'm poking it in the face. It stinks. And he'll be like crying because I'm going to make him all bloody. Just remember, call Rambo.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.